welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
All right, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Brian.
Get on your knees. Come back.
Yeah.
You just eat me, man.
Arlie Ermey.
That actor is going to be on our show today.
Yes, one of my favorite
guys.
Yeah.
Real life drill sergeant, I believe.
Yes. Yes, he, well, you know that from Full Metal Jacket, but then the guy's done a ton of movies after that. That was possibly his first. I think the story was he was a real-life DI who was instructing the actor who was supposed to play the drill instructor. And why not get a real drill instructor to play a drill instructor? Because there's just a difference between saying a line that you heard for the first time on Tuesday and one you've been saying your entire life.
There's no racial bigotry here.
Yeah, I don't know that guy had been saying that, the line that follows that.
You're so ugly, you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Yeah, well,
what's his most famous line from that movie, Brian?
To clean it up a little. They're all...
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Right after he says there is no racial bigotry, he tells who he doesn't hate equally in rather graphic detail.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he was excellent in that movie.
And then turned it into a career.
I don't know if he was nominated, but he was, but he didn't win.
Nominated for a Golden Globe, Best Supporting Actor.
But not an Oscar.
Yeah, I don't think
should have been nominated.
I don't think that deserved a bell.
When you say
I think he was nominated, I think it goes without saying we all thought Oscar, so therefore no bell.
Good point.
Not a Nobel.
Philosophical.
And no bell.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I agree. Misleading.
I know Nobel.
Give yourself a dong or buzz or something like that.
Or that sound of like the boner going away. You know the one.
We throw the flag. We're going to challenge
that one.
First boner of the morning goes to Teresa. I just keep track of these things.
Let's see. So anyway, R. Lee is going to be in here. It's R. Lee.
And you know his show, of course, the...
Mail call.
Turn this movie, not a couple of scenes, he really had the opening starring role, into a bunch more movies, and then Mail Call. And Mail Call, the thing I like best about it, if they decide today it's not about Gunny, that's what he calls himself, and M16, it's about Gunny making a latrine, it's about Gunny showing you how to hide in a tree. It's like, ooh, the M16 didn't show up, what do you want to do? Let's hide in a tree. All right, this is how you hide in a tree. It's like they make it up as they go, and he's really good.
Well, he gets letters from people saying, you know, how many guys in a platoon, how many men in a regiment, how many regiments in an army, and all that kind of stuff, and he just breaks it all down. And, I mean, it's not all just Stratego stuff. It'll be the first helicopter used in battle, the first time there was an aerial assault. You know, guys used to just throw bombs out of airplanes.
Yeah, drop
and stuff like
buy wings.
Yeah, cool material. Just if you're gearhead or you're warhead, or if you're like me, you like war and gear, it's nirvana for me. So I've probably seen every Mail Call. I'm excited to speak to R. Lee. I would say I think he's been off for a season or two.
What network is this?
It's on the
History Channel.
Now you're going to embarrass me. No, yeah, History Channel, right. I can't. There's the Military Channel, the History Channel,
right,
the Discovery Channel, and they all play stuff and I TiVo stuff. So the stuff just kind of starts when the show starts.
I got to get me one of them.
I don't. Yeah. Oh, you got to get you two of them.
Yeah.
I had a house full.
Put one in your brain. Don't even bother setting it up.
It was amazing when I had it. They set it up for me because they were our sponsors and I'm an idiot. So they came to my house and set it up so it all worked by itself. What they did, as I think a favor, was it automatically recorded anything with my name in it.
Oh.
So within a month, probably less, but I don't want to sound like a spaz, it was full. Because I've been doing this 45 years now. My name's in something everywhere. Everything from black and white TV shows to Entertainment Tonight with one word. So it was full and it stopped recording things and I couldn't really make it work anymore.
Yeah, you can put your name into the TiVo.
I won't do that again.
Yeah, well... I guess, yeah, it's one of these things where if you're on TV, I'm sure only 40 or 50% of the people that buy TiVos have this problem. But if you're on TV so much that it clogs it up, it'll do it. Yeah, you can put your name in there and it'll, if you're on something. Now, the thing is it's not exactly a science because your name isn't always on everything.
Like, no, but I don't know how, I don't think I actually got a billing on the Andy Griffith Show and it recorded it.
Well, it would have to show up when you hit the TiVo thing. You would have to see your name on the top guide thing. I mean, let's put it this way. Like, if you take your favorite TV show, if you take King of Queens and you hit the thing, it says Kevin James stars right. as blah, 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 blah. If it doesn't have that Kevin James part, it's not going to record on Kevin James's TiVo.
Well, for me, and I will tell you this, and then I'll tell you something else, because I know it's completely unrelatable. Like, only 40% of you have this problem, but I have particular problems. One is, I'm positive I got no credit in my first Andy recorded it anyway.
The thing about the TiVo is, it wouldn't know to record you if your name was not on the thing that comes
not that
up.
Smart.
I agree with you, but it's also recorded cartoons. I barely remember doing it. I mean, maybe the credits go by so fast I don't see them, but when it clogged my TV and I didn't know what to do because there were things, they gave it to me during the casting of the new Partridge Family.
Well, if somebody knows, by the way, 866-901-ADAM, I wouldn't mind getting an answer to this, but I'm almost positive if it's not on the marquee that you hit,
here would be my
it
guess.
Doesn't record.
My guess is the same thing that happened. I made a list I wanted to be on, and it's in the paper. And I looked. Somebody called and said, you're on this list, and I wasn't. Well, it turns out this list that they print is only the top 10, but the list itself is 100 people long. Maybe where it says Kevin James, King of Queens, it keeps going and stops, and eventually somewhere that I don't see, it says, and guest star so-and-so and so-and-so.
I don't, I it's weird because I don't know that much about it, but I'm still going to go with no. I don't think it works that way, but someone tell us. Maybe the little TiVo guy got a gut feeling.
Yeah.
He can go on intuition. You do every once in a while. Yeah, I don't know. Brian, isn't this something you should know? No.
You'd be surprised. If everything I know, TV is my weak link. I don't know TV. I don't
maybe
know.
This isn't something else. If my other 40 or 50% of the world has this problem.
Mm.
The other day on one of those news shows I've been doing lately, they said, Rosie O'Donnell said, she said the English sailors were there on purpose so we could invade.
Right.
And I was trying to make a joke about that thing that she hangs upside down with, and I said, if they could find a rope thick enough for this bitch, they should hang her for treason. Just, you know, that's me being me and doing my job.
Right.
There are so many conspiracy theorists now. My MySpace is useless to me. I am on a rotation list. I can't get any mail. 24 hours a day, threats. I'm a communist. Come to the light. Read these books. Do the research from people with really scary names and pictures. And they're on some kind of, because I'll delete them and a 5-page manifesto will come up and it's different from the last one within seconds.
Jaywalking.
Mm-hmm. These electronic guys are amazing.
Bill's one of those guys, gay board up, Bill.
When I say something that I don't care, I'll take whatever side will get me on television.
Yeah.
I have no real beliefs.
I talked to, I was basically saying this to somebody yesterday, you know, whenever they do that, hey man, wake up. You know, there are all those movies that comes out every few years. Denzel Washington stars in a movie about the government and the covert ops and the way it works and the senator fat cats and the black helicopters. And then at some point in the movie, they pull the naive Denzel Washington star and go, you just don't know how it works around here, do you, son? You talk too much. Well, you stop talking and we'll make sure of it. That kind of thing. Meanwhile, wouldn't Rosie O'Donnell be dead if that's how we do things?
Yes.
We just hear a story where she rolled her car into the river.
Right, like in Silkwood when they were driven off the road.
Yes, every one of those. She sits on a national television, not on deep cable, not on public access. It's not Rosie's Corner on the Eagle Rock Network. It's Rosie in prime talking time on a network sitting there saying horrible things about our government day in and day out. And there's never a plane crash when she's on her way to Florida for the weekend. And there's never the brake lines cut on a car. I mean, if we were how we think we are in the movies or other people, wouldn't she be dead about 3 years ago? And then secondly, wouldn't Monica Lewinsky be dead? Wouldn't she just be dead? I mean, isn't that the first thing you do? Hey, there's some 19-year-old hillbilly that's been on top of the president. Oh, well, I'll have to arrange an accident. Wouldn't everyone just be dead? We can't pull anything off. We don't do anything except for we get, you know what we are?
Get caught.
Yeah, we're sort of like the we're like the kid that everyone thinks is a juvenile delinquent because we wear grease in our hair and smoke, but we never really get into trouble, but we always get arrested, and we have a long rap sheet, even though we haven't done nearly as much as the cops think we have. I just say if we were in that kind of environment, if we're in that type of government, Rosie O'Donnell would have died and Monica Lewinsky would be dead. These people would just start showing up missing.
Okay.
And I don't know if you can show up missing.
Well, I want these people to show up missing because here we go.
It'd be nice.
Dear Danny, may your wife and children be repeatedly raped by people with AIDS. Will you live to be 100 years old so you can live to watch it every day? My wife responded, actually, to that person.
Wow.
And said, were you aware that his wife and children get this? To which he replies, no, but I'm glad I'm talking to you. This is what I believe. I hope you are raped. I hope your daughter is raped right in front of you, and I hope your husband lives to be 100 so he can watch you and your children be raped every day for the next 100 years.
Hold on a second.
From saying Rosie should be hung.
Did he write that, or is that one of those Hallmark electronic readings I was hearing about?
That's an e-card, isn't it?
E-card?
You know, I don't care, and she's not afraid, which is cool. We're not
used
deference.
To rape 9 times. Let's see if we can limit it to 7 in your next effort.
But MySpace used to be fun. Now, and I'm really considering not doing... I got to protect my First Amendment rights, so I'm backing down.
Well, hold on a second. He wants your family repeatedly raped... Because
I said Rosie should be hung for treason.
Let me clarify what he's mad at. He's mad that you called out Rosie.
Right.
Because of what she said on The View about 9/11 being a conspiracy and that our government plotted it.
That's what a lot of them want me to die for. Mm-hmm. And they all want me to die or wake up and smell the roses or you fool or you have no right to be so uninformed and go on these shows. Mm. But what I wrote back trying to get them, because this is not the first time this has happened, I wrote back to them saying, dude, my MySpace is for my family and fun. If you're mad at something I say on a TV news station, A, I'm just doing my job and don't really care much.
Right.
B, please write to the TV station. My kids see this. And then they started writing to my kids. Stuff like that to my children.
You were making a joke about the inversion therapy and hopefully she'll hang herself. Yes?
Halfway.
I was trying to help you.
No, I mean, I got it. If I back down so I can get back to talking about nothing on MySpace, which is just fun for me when I get home from work.
Right.
You know, and sometimes they help me out on Music Mondays. I'm really stuck or something like that. You know, it's fun. But these guys are computer whizzes and not all their death threats and stuff like that. But they're on some kind of machine. So my MySpace and other programs of mine are completely useless to me.
Well, stand down, freaks.
No.
Leave Danny alone.
Yeah. Stand down. Just write to the TV station or something.
They listen to me.
You know, I just asked Gretchen this morning at 4 in the morning, do you know how to block people? I have, because I don't want you seeing all this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's hundreds of men around.
Is Gretchen nervous about something?
Gretchen has reopened her own MySpace page for her clothes and her friends and hoping they'll leave her alone. Mm. But it's page after page. I mean, if you want to start just reading them, it's page after
Gretchen's
page.
Gretchen's just trying to sell some cute skirts on there.
That's luckily, in a way, that's what happened. As I said, I won't sell things to my fans. It's my MySpace page. And sure enough, the station threw up some sponsors.
Sure.
But then, you know, they're my boss, and that's different from my clothing. Something where I'm making a personal profit. It just doesn't seem right. It seems like somebody that chooses to listen to the Adam Carolla Show already pays my rent.
I
just want to say hi. I've met maybe 300 people for coffee from MySpace.
Really?
Yeah, at a time. I mean, like 20 at a time. Yeah, let's all meet at the Tea Leaf on Franklin and whatever. And I'll meet a bunch of people, listeners from the show.
Really?
I happen to like that. I think that's really fun. But now it's almost impossible to get to them through the nuts that want me to die because I said I think Rosie's a commie bitch.
Well, it's interesting because it doesn't feel like the same crowd that would be defending Rosie or fans of Rosie and ones that want you to be repeatedly raped or watch your family be repeatedly raped. It seems like a different group than someone who would form that letter. Is that one mainly about the conspiracy stuff or is that just about Rosie? Because the defenders of Rosie and the ones that want you to be repeatedly raped or your family to be repeatedly raped seem like two different entities to me.
They do seem like separate subgroups of people. I don't see where they overlap.
Speak amongst yourselves for 1 second.
Can always be one guy, though.
Yeah, there seems like the free speech people.
I'd like to meet that guy, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a guy with a lot of range. He defends Husky lesbians and he wants the family to be raped.
He did one thing that no one else has ever done. Because this happened before. Remember that thing that was on YouTube? That guy really bothered me and I told him, I'm going to kill you right here on Hollywood Boulevard. No, I had a steak knife. I happened to be eating a steak. I said, if you talk to me one more time, I'm going to shove this in your jugular. And he started to talk and I go, dude, do I look like a guy who won't go to jail for the rest of his life just to back up what I said? and he believed me.
We'll get an ISDN line put in there, by the way, if that ever happens.
But people really want me to die over saying because I don't have the facts. So people like me are leading the country to ruin. And now I'm almost responsible for 9/11.
Well, why don't they just wait for nature to take its course with the smoking?
Yeah.
Should be sending your
exactly.
packs of cigarettes.
You guys, I'll be dead soon enough. Leave me be.
All right. Danny, were you trying to get an answer to that, whatever question we were asking?
Yes, I'm getting it right now.
How do you get that answer?
He does the hunt and peck method with the typing.
Why don't we take a five-minute break?
I would make fun of it, except for I'm much slower than he is.
Here we go. I'm on it right now. I'll just go down to my inbox.
That's what it sounds like when I type.
Is that you?
Well,
you really do the hunt and peck?
Oftentimes the drool will short out the board.
Right. Now, see, it's
I'm not even really hunt and peck. I peck and then I hunt for my wife because I'm like, someone took the Z. There's no Z on the board. Who stole the Z? There was a Z. And then she points right to it and I go, okay, well, that wasn't there 5 minutes ago.
And then you yell at her.
Well, my backhand. Okay.
The first one I had is just boring. It just says, leave Rosie alone.
Right.
But these will go on for a million.
But these are all about what you said about Rosie.
Well, no, this one is this girl that writes. She says, hey, Danny, good morning, Gretchen. This next one says, approve comment.
But I mean, all the ones where he wants you to die are Rosie related?
They are now. They used to be.
Conspiracy related?
No, they've gone in waves. A lot of people, for a guy who did nothing and nobody know how except ruin the English language just then, first they wanted me to die over the conspiracy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then they wanted me to die, this time of cancer, over Damashek.
But that was Damashek. But the rape one, well, the rape one was over Rosie.
As far as I can remember.
All right.
Somebody says they want your family raped repeatedly. I don't really remember the motive. I just remember thinking it's probably not fun for anyone involved.
All right.
Because the rapist even has AIDS.
Oh, I forgot that he has AIDS. Yeah.
Yeah. May your family be raped repeatedly by people, so more than one, with AIDS, and may you live for the next 100 years to watch it and watch them suffer.
Good times.
But then that means they're going to all live till over 100.
Right.
Right? I mean, if you're watching, they should modify it and say Gretchen's corpse at a certain point.
We're having a ball out here.
We need to take a break. Look, I don't want to tell you how to form your letter, but
if you're going to threaten somebody, at least try to, stick to something.
If you want to go to my MySpace, I can tune you up, get you ready for it.
I just want to meet you for coffee and hang out. You know, I steal crap from the radio station when Silver's not looking because there's other music stations in this building. Mm-hmm. So I grab some CDs. I don't know how Herman's Hermits goes over with our fans, but I steal some crap and some T-shirts. Say, whoever wants to meet me today from 12 to 1 at the Coffee Bean on so-and-so, I'll be there. And between 5 and 50 people show up. We have tea.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun. It's totally fun. And then these guys wreck it.
Yeah, well, I was this close to getting my own MySpace page, and now shine that noise. We need to take...
Our listeners don't care much. We say really mean things like this lady should be sterilized and stuff. By the way, I picked up your Man of the Year award. These people should be sterilized. I just wanted to combine those two because I was kind of thrown on what I was accepting, you bastard. A heads up would have been nice, you creepy son of a bitch.
I have no idea what it was.
You accepted a Man of the Year award for Adam?
Yes.
Well, maybe we'll discuss that.
Yeah. All right, let's do that then. We'll come back. Yes.
I was just going to say... They get we're kidding, or that we mean it, and it's none of their business. I never get letters if I say that person should just die. I should hit that person in the face with a bat. Nobody writes up, how dare you say that? They know we have a job to do.
Right.
But the conspiracy nuts are flat out crazy as hell.
Yeah, and they have copious amounts of time
and they're good with
access to their computer in their mom's basement, and that's a deadly combination. All right. Quick break, and then we'll tell you about Man of the Year. Also tell you about that fire that almost consumed my house over the weekend.
Yeah.
And Arizona and many, many other things next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Danny's his name. Oh, Partridge Family fame. Got a voice like he smokes 10 packs of. He's got red pubes like a fire down below. Yells at his wife on his reality show. Bonaducci shot steroids in his butt. Bonaducci
by the way.
Day, is it? Yeah.
It is Monday morning. By the way, just to let you know what I'm talking about, since I started saying this, 150 letters have now come in backing me up. Mm-hmm. I don't want those either. This has nothing to do with it. I want, hey, is Teresa really cute? Does Adam really only have one eyebrow?
Mm.
How much do you smoke? How much can you bench?
Talking about MySpace.
Yeah.
Yes, those are simpler times.
That's all this is supposed to be, and I write it probably three times a month when people see me on TV. It's usually, it's two guys, Glenn Beck and Joe Scarborough. And they have me for no other reason than I'll say anything. Mm-hmm. I don't need to believe it. If they got a guy that hates Rosie already, I'll say, you know, she really does have a right. And then I'll still make a joke. That's why they have me.
Mm-hmm.
So to write me and threaten my family and hate my family is one thing. Then the people who like what I had to say, and they're usually in a uniform, so you have to answer them, mm-hmm. call me and call me a patriot. Mm-hmm. That's not what this thing is. Is Adam Carolla cute? Is that a fun job? What mm-hmm. When are you guys going to do this? That's what all it's supposed to be.
Yes, one, no, and maybe.
Here's one right from a guy in a tie-dyed shirt which says, Rosie should be hung, and it says, shame on you, you fascist bastard. That is quickly followed by a woman who calls me a Nazi. Let's see. This one is... Oh, you'll love this one. This is the exact kind of person, and it's a cute girl. It's a cute girl that wrote this one. What's this? Let me just get back to the in picture. This one is how the Bushes funded the Nazis.
How do you know it's a cute chick?
Well,
it's
I don't. There's a picture of a cute chick standing next to it.
We don't know that it's her picture, but MySpace, your picture pops up with a message.
Wow, this
a
one's
picture.
From Morgan Fairchild herself,
well,
everybody.
Well, I've had that happen. So 1981. I got a letter from a girl that was so down on herself, and I was writing back to her. I said, you know, she seemed really young. I said, yeah, why do you feel so bad? She was talking about parents. You come from, both your parents are still married to one another. You're obviously an attractive girl. And it was just a picture of like half a face. And I said, mm-hmm. you look like Angelina Jolie, for God's sakes. And my wife comes in, she goes, honey, that is Angelina Jolie. People don't always use pictures of themselves.
Yeah.
So that one was low. Okay, here's one I think you really
I would
like.
Use it. Even Brian uses Angelina Jolie. Let's be fair.
So now, there were 12 before this. I didn't know that this wasn't all one, just giant one. So it ends with Nazis, plain and simple. The Bushes funded the Nazis. This country has funneled them in. They run the thing and pay off people like you and you douchebags to support them, or maybe you're just that sick. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means, but what happened to Can I Have an Adam Carolla T-shirt?
Gay walking, because you are gay.
That's Bill, yeah.
Could you guys just write to those other guys?
It's your fault for trying to communicate with the public. It's basically the way
I'm not trying
I
to communicate with anyone. Trying to communicate with my bank account, although Glenn Beck doesn't pay me, that cheap prick.
Well, he should, by the way.
He totally should now.
What the heck were we talking about?
Oh, man of
this?
The year.
Oh, man of the
now,
year.
Danny, you sorry, accepted really Adam's man of the year?
Hey, is Teresa really cute?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
By the way, how do you respond?
To is...
Sad face icon?
If I'm... See, I use dictation software at home. So if I'm at home, I go into detail about you. I'll talk about you. Because I have some time. You know, I'm busy, but I like this. This is a fun game for me. Mm-hmm. I like my MySpace. If that makes me a geek, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, I like it. So I answer like 50
If
days.
I have my dictation software, I'll go into detail. If I'm sitting here right now... Well, right now, I wouldn't be looking at regular MySpace. It would be about the show. But I'd just hit the button and go, yeah, really cute. Boom. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's good enough.
But if you had dictation, you'd go into a little more detail.
Yeah, I describe what she looks like and why she's still single and here's your best shot at her and stuff like that.
Sad, on Saturday night, I spent an hour or two responding to my MySpace and it has a time and date stamp. So a lot of people wrote back like, why are you home on a Saturday night answering your MySpace? Why do you think?
Yeah.
Nowhere to go.
Oh, baby.
But you
if
were
I
out.
If I had the energy, I'd change all that.
Thanks.
I really
but
would.
Danny, you were out accepting Adam's Man of the Year Award.
Yes, I know. And my family was home being raped by people with AIDS. It was a very, very busy night for the Bonaduce.
What sort of award is this?
Well, that's the question, which now I have the answer for, but I'm a little pissed off at my friend Adam and said so in front of very well-dressed people.
Hmm. I don't know that much about this award. I got some sort of Man of the Year award from some sort of place I made a presentation for a year ago.
Yeah, that's what the guy that won it a year ago said. And that's when I realized where I was. Because they said what they told me. The title was something about something, building a home and something. Now, Adam has made, I've seen his beautiful home in a magazine. I heard him actually say a guy was too lazy to wax his Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I mentioned that during your speech.
Thank you.
I said he was only kidding. The guy wasn't really that lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I went up with this speech because I thought Adam was in an association that built homes from hearing about, you know, this person should be sterilized and that way the world would be better. And if you didn't do this and if you didn't obey that law, he's a bit of a rebel, Adam Carolla is. Mm. So when I see the word building and Adam Carolla's Man of the Year, I assume he's building mansions in the suburbs so white people can flee there.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the speech I write.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Turns out Adam's keeping a little secret from us.
What?
He's nice.
Mm. Oh, I knew that.
You knew that?
Yeah. What was it, Habitat for Humanity or something?
It was not quite them, but they build homes for poor people, yeah. And I wrote jokes about exterminating them.
Yeah, well, they weren't there because it was probably $1,000 a place.
Yeah, so. It was very rich. A lot of rich people. And by the way, I said, I thought this thing was about building houses for rich white people. And then I looked around and I said, and yet I have seen nothing to dissuade me from that decision because it was nothing but rich white people.
Well, once in a while, we like to toast ourselves for doing things for the poor brown people.
But it turns out, in all sincerity, and off the cuff, by the way, I thought I did an okay job. I think if you ask around, like, how did he represent me, you'll think, okay, but weird. Right. But weird.
Yes.
But I said things like, a lot, I said, I said, let's see if I've got this right. Because I'm winging it now, totally. And I'm skinned. They're staring at me, and they're rich, and they're spooky looking, and they're giving this guy an award who's not here. And I follow Mick Fleetwood. Mick Fleetwood introduces Adam.
Oh, really?
And I go up. And now I know I have nothing to say. So I go up there, and I say, great. I'm accepting an award for a guy who's not here, who being introduced by a guy who actually learned to play his own instrument. And I got a decent laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I got
a decent laugh,
for off the cuff. And then I talked about working with Adam Carolla, and then I thought this was a thing to build mansions for which rich white people to flee to. Mm-hmm. Then I said, Adam's been keeping a secret from me. Apparently he's nice. And then I ran down this list. I said, let's see if I got this right. Tall, handsome, has a lot of money, really smart, compassionate for his fellow man. Well, let me just say this. I'm sick of this bastard right now. Second good laugh. Last good laugh on a short speech was I ran down kind of the list of his accomplishments again, and I said, and I'm sure when I see him on Monday and he thanks me for accepting this award on his behalf, and he will call you on Monday to apologize, and I'm sure he'll make up for it by curing cancer over the weekend. Because that's just what Carolla can do.
And then is that what you were up
stage.
To?
No, he's getting drunk in Arizona.
No, he's not that good. But it's just, you know, you're giving him the Man of the War, the Man of the Year, or if you're building houses for poor people, and you've written this snide-ass speech about white flight.
Yeah, I don't
have to go the opposite
direction. You had to
make
a game-time decision and change tactics.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. I don't know why they gave me this award, but I was going to be out of town when they were given it, so they wanted somebody of some notoriety to come up and accept it for me. And I said, how about the guy?
He said, I don't know anybody, but I work with this guy named Danny. Will that do?
I actually offered up Bald Brian first, but it turns out
they
he was
said,
in there.
So, Brian, you have a da-da-da-da-da-da or anything like that?
Sure he does.
Well, yeah, it's Fox Hunting season. If this
award was going to race to him against other awards, that would have been perfect. But Adam Carolla? On behalf of the American family. Oh, and they changed their name. That's why I was told I didn't say this.
This
one is, Adam, on behalf of the American Family Housing Shelter for the Homeless, Man of the Year, Adam Carolla, for outstanding efforts in helping to find shelter for those in need. Sweet Celebration Gala, March 31st. 2007.
Thanks, Danny.
Congratulations.
I'm going to put this right next to I finished a pig's trough at Farrell's. That's thus far now this hops the number one beside finishing off that pig trough in 1979.
Now, when they thank you for your help, do they mean your generous donation or did you actually build stuff?
I'm guessing you built stuff. I'm going to go with both.
I'm guessing donation.
No, I what I did is donated some money and then donated some time to hosting the events or doing the auctions and raising the money and all that. It's really, I don't deserve it. I'm not man of the year. There were 1,000 of them. Maybe I'd be one of them.
I don't want to be rude or anything, but it ain't much of a plaque.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen bowlers get better plaques. So that's crazy.
But, you know, it's one of these things.
Sweet of them, and they, you know, they were dead. They were very sincere about you, and they really like you and really think you do work for your community.
It's one of these things, thank you, and I appreciate you accepting it on my behalf. It's also one of these things where you just hang up on the wall, and 30 years from now, people just see Man of the Year, and they go, well, this guy must have done something. They'll have no idea I did nothing.
Do you know the only award out in my house, and I've been over the years, you get them. You do something and you get them.
Yes, I was over there. Saw it on your mantle.
The soup one. I do have that one. Sorry, I forgot about that's a tin can. But the only award that people consider legitimate, even though I've never heard of it, but it's apparently a big deal, is the Prism Award. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
It's an award given to people for accurately displaying the devastation of drug and alcohol abuse on television. And I was up against intervention and something else really serious. And I won. And Dr. Drew's at the other table with the people from intervention and there's all these doctors and psychiatrists, and I win. So I went up to the stage and I said, much like this moment, I wasn't exactly sure what the award was for. And I said, I don't know why I win. Do I win because I took the most drugs without dying? Is that how I win place and show? And they just kind of nodded. The people from intervention hated me. Because I didn't even know what it was. Like, yeah, I accurately used them. I'm pretty friggin' good at it by now.
Well, you have...
What do you think? I throw the pills up in the air, open my mouth like for an M&M and then miss? No, I can do this.
Is this... this is... What year did you win this?
Last year. I'm up for it again this year, too.
Oh, really?
Really?
To check with Drew. Maybe he'll know.
I want to relapse that night and just go up a wasted.
Well, when you accepted your Prism, were you stoned or straight?
Out of my mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, they picked the right guy. They want an accurate description. They ain't got one.
Well, we need to take a break, but I'm going to give a very accurate description of March Madness, Red Turn Arrows versus the required front license plate. So it's Road Rage.
Right on.
Yeah.
March Madness. We got our final four. We're getting to... we're at our playoffs, we're at our championship. Now, the championship game will be tonight.
Yep, for the NCAA.
For the NCAAs, and I guess we'll have ours tomorrow, or at least announce ours tomorrow. We'll be back with March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show. In Elite 8 action. Required front license plates.
That way the ticket can be waiting for you when you get home from a long day of paying taxes.
Advanced after putting the length of the baseball season on the disabled list.
Please, people, with your baseball, it sucks. If it was 10 games, it'd be too long. It's 162 games.
And Red Turn Arrows got the green light.
I could see so far in the distance, I saw the Earth's curvature. The arrow is red. The signal is green. There's no cars coming.
After sticking it to safety warning stickers.
When I go into my kitchen, I see the stickers on the tomatoes I have to peel off.
Right.
I go into my garage, I see the stickers on every tool. It's all over the cars. It's all over everything now.
As the final four heats up, will Red Turn Arrows or required front license plates go to the championship? It's March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, that about says it all. Tomorrow's the big day. Tonight, big day if you like to watch the college basketball. And speaking of sports, one of the sports that got beat out is the never-ending baseball season, which I think starts today. 2,430-some-odd games will be the number played. 2,400. I never broke it down that way. I just complained about the 162-game season. But that times however many teams there are, times however many days in the week, 2,400 games. Not 2,000, but well over 2,000. Who decided we had an unsatiable appetite for the world's most boring game? And I like baseball. I like playing baseball. I played in high school. I always play in these celebrity games. I'm a good player. I enjoy it. There's nothing better than a catch, and there's nothing better than a softball game. But watching guys do it times 2,400 and change, please, people, take that little bat. Remember the bat they give you on bat night?
Mm-hmm.
Sharpen it up. It's like a stake at the end. Put it against your sternum and fall forward.
Wow.
And let it go right through you like a vampire.
The baseball version of falling on your sword.
Mm-hmm.
Good Roman death.
Yes. Unfortunately, that ship has sailed. The long baseball season did not make it into the final four.
Also, I wonder how many people fell on their sword accidentally and killed themselves in the Roman days, and then people just spun it. Like, what happened to Herbius? I'm guessing, you know, it would be Herb, but we'd call him Herbie.
Right.
What happened to Herbie?
Well, he found this disease he couldn't cure, and we named it after him.
Herpes.
Herpes. Fell on his own sword.
Well, a bunch of people fell on his sword first and started complaining about it.
Herpes. All right, let's call it, I'll call him Marcus. There you go. Marcus, he fell on his sword. Oh, really? Committed suicide in the manliest?
Yeah, it wasn't like he was running from a bear or anything.
No.
All right, what do we got
By the
here?
Way, I can fix baseball 1 second for you if you want.
Go ahead.
Ready? Here's the new way to play baseball. Now it's a real game. You never put down the bat.
You just run with the bat.
Everybody gets a bat.
Everyone gets a bat.
When you try and steal second, you better have some serious intentions.
I got it.
Because you got a bat, he's got a bat, and he's near the base. Now that's a game.
Philly fanatic with a bat.
Yeah. Every player's got a bat.
In the outfield?
Everybody got a bat.
The pitcher?
Don't you know in the movie The Warriors?
No.
Okay. Remember the baseball gang? They all had bats. That's what made them badass.
You're all about solutions.
It is funny, though. I know you... Do you remember the baseball gang? Do you remember the Warriors?
No.
Warriors come out and play.
I never saw it.
One of the best movies ever.
All right. Where the hell were we? I don't know if it's still
You all have
up.
Earned your pay right now.
Yes. The March Madness. Final Four going to the championship tomorrow. Let's get it on. With front license plates. Again, that's the number that the man puts there because the man has a camera in every intersection and the man wants to take a picture of your number. And all you folks worried about your Orwellian future, it's here. You don't get a number. The thing you travel in, the metal pod called a Nissan you travel in has a number, and it's attached to the front bumper, and the man wants it there, not for safety, but because the man wants to take a picture of your car with a strobe light and send it to your home so that you and your wife can get divorced over another chicken-ass $300-and-something-dollar ticket. Not only that, but it ruins the aesthetic appearance of almost every automobile. Trucks look fine with a bumper and the license on there, but all the sports cars, all the cars with the wraparound front valance and all that look like fried hell. And most of the time, and oftentimes, there's no place for it. Like, if you get yourself a modern sports car, it doesn't want a flat serving tray on the front of the car. So the dealer just takes a couple of wood screws and sinks it right into the plastic of the bumper, destroying it. Well, listen, I took my plate off. If everyone took their plate off, we could get this law off the book. You understand? Safety in numbers, people. Numbers. The number they want you to put on the front of your car so you can get a chicken-ass ticket. Well, we need to rise up in numbers and remove those. If we all did it, we could get away with it. And speaking of getting away with something we all do, the red turn arrow. Oh, yes. Everyone think back 10 years, way back to 1997. How many red arrows did you see when you were driving? Two? Right. There was one in Newport Beach, and there was another one in Culver City, and that was the only one. Well, now there's one everywhere. They're popping up all around your house, and you can just sit there and watch your life pass before you while you sit there and wait for the man to tell you when it's safe to turn. Now, our parents grew up in a country where they got something called a goddamn driver's license, and once they got that, well, that was a license that said they knew when it was safe to turn. But we're living in a different time. time now. The man ain't going to let you go on to the plane with your shoes on. He ain't going to let you have a book of matches on it. And he ain't going to let you turn when you think it's safe. When we lose that ability to use that part of the brain, which is quickly shutting down, to decide what to do for our safety and our family safety, well, now we've lost it as a civilization. I turn through every single one I see. I do it on principle. I will circle the goddamn block just to find one and then do it again, and I've never got a ticket. So you lemmings that are sitting there waiting for the man to tell you it's okay to do something you did a month earlier at that intersection, well, you join me, and you take that front license plate off, and you ignore that arrow, and you turn, and you liberate yourselves, my brother. Freedom! Let it ring!
I'll set myself free if you show me how to use the tool that'll get those screws out, please.
Oh, of your front plates?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone, if we all did it, if we all took the plates off, if we all removed them from the cars, if we all turned at the red turn arrows, it wouldn't be a damn thing they could do about it. And there isn't anyway. Look in your rear view. You don't see a cop? Turn. Here's what you do. There's a two-part movement. One, you look up and you see a green light. Two, you look straight and you see no vehicles in the foreseeable future. Three, you look in your rear view and you don't see a cop. Well, four, turn.
Nice.
Do it every day. Every day. Mm-hmm. And I don't revise this number. I keep saying I've done it 5,000 times. I've been doing it for 7 or 8 years, times three times a day. Now, I used to do it three times a week, but now I have to do it three times a day because the arrows keep popping up. And now listen, you pussy lemmings out there who are going to give me an email and tell me. First off, you really like the way that sounds, you whining about me turning through these things, you pussies. And secondly, again, when the light is green and the arrow turns red, that's when you do it. The arrow, the green arrow, fine idea. Let's alleviate some traffic. We're only getting two cars per cycle during rush hour. Fine. Have the signal turn green and then have it go to nothing. And you get to turn when it's safe. I do it. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. If I got a ticket later on today, I would love it. And I would laugh because I'd still be so far ahead of the game. It wouldn't be funny. And just to give fair and balanced, equal time to the front license plate.
OT again.
Going in OT. The front license plate, here's how you know it's not a law that is involved safety. Half the country doesn't even have this law. So that's how important it is. Right. Half the country doesn't recognize this law. And California, for one of those places that's supposed to be, hey, man, let your freak flag fly and we do our own thing. We're on the vanguard of everything. We have more chicken ass laws in this state than any other state. It's funny. We think of ourselves as liberated. We are the most uptight. Oh, we're liberal when it comes to the taxpayers paying for a bus driver in San Francisco to get gender reassignment. We're on the vanguard of that ship. But when it comes to chicken ass laws that hold you down, we do more in this country that try to build something in the state of California.
Oh,
try doing something on the road. You don't think we have more laws, more taxes, and more chicken ass in this part of the country than anywhere else? Not only in this country, in the world. So please, let's start claiming some of it back for ourselves. Take off that plate, everyone. Just take it off, throw it in the trunk. You'll get a fix-it ticket. It'll be $20. You have to put it back on. Go get it signed off, and then pull it right back off again. If we all just did that, think of the utopia we'd be living in.
We'll be back.
Now I've given equal time to both.
Let me say this.
I can do.
Yes.
I have, you know, most people have sponsors on the show, and luckily I have an old friend of mine from Cerritos Nissan. I let him eat the tickets.
Let me say this briefly. Go to AdamCarolla.com where you can vote. And if I can paraphrase, front plates, those are for pussy lemmings who are afraid of chicken-ass tickets. Left-hand turn. Liberate yourselves.
Yeah, close, although I think you may have swapped them around.
Front plates for pussy lemmings who are afraid to take them off and get a chicken-ass ticket.
Yeah.
Left-hand turn arrows. You can liberate yourself and just turn left.
Okay, it's good.
They're pretty close.
Same topic, same things. Fight the man. All right, I'm making a fist. You people can't see that. T, before I do something awful with my fist.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, Jenna Jameson has something wrong with her vagina, and a former child star in a lot of trouble. Here is a hint.
man.
That makes me nervous. I came on 47. That makes me nervous.
Well,
do you know when they teased that story?
Hold on, it's not Bonaducci.
Nope. No.
When they teased that story, ex-child star found dead, I had been off illegal drugs. It was a drug overdose. I'd been off illegal drugs 8-9 years by then. Everybody in my family called weeping.
Oh,
until I answered the voice.
I thought you thought you were dead when you were watching.
No, but I heard myself announced dead on the radio. They announced that I had been found dead on the radio once while I was driving to high school.
Really?
Yeah.
You were never on that show.
Well, I can't wait to hear who it is, and that's just going to be more TV for you, Bonaducci.
Yeah, you will be called.
My phone's ringing right friggin' now about whatever this is.
We'll take a quick break. T will answer the news phone.
I'm going to blame it on Rosie, and don't write my email. Write to whatever stupid-ass show books me.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Let's bring the heat, peeps. For Full Metal Jacket and Mail Call, Arlie Ermey. Hey, I know him. He's the guy who says, get on your knees, scumbag. Coincidentally, Jack Ben used the same line when he hired Bonaducci. We'll finish off our Final Four at our March Madness Tournament. And Music Monday, songs to get laid to. Oh, sweet. The Jack Ben could really use some advice. I mean, give some advice about getting laid with chicks. Okay.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, T, my favorite part of the morning. Nay, the day.
Nay?
Nay, the day. Teresa Strasser with the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
As of today, there's an apparent softening in the dispute between the Iranians and the British. Of course, 15 British soldiers are being held captive by Iran, and there have been many confessions that have gone out over the airwaves. Now, as of today, Britain is saying they're not going to release any of the latest confessions, and conversely, Britain is saying that they're willing to talk and to negotiate. So there looks like there's a softening in that conflict. Meanwhile, over the weekend, President Bush spoke out on the Today Show. Here is what he had to say. There's a tiny, tiny slur at the very end. Take a listen.
The Iranians must give back the hostages. They're innocent. They were doing nothing wrong. As I say, it's inexcusable behavior.
Inexcusable.
Yeah, but inexcusable is all right with me.
They're wearing shoes. I don't see what the problem
is. That's what
he meant. It's just that I'm super sensitive to that, because if I make a simple mistake like that, people jump to a lot of conclusions. That's why I try so hard to be on time. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a few minutes late, you're stuck in traffic. If I'm late, I'm in a crack house. You know, people just, I can't afford certain mistakes. Yeah. So I'll give that guy that slur was a little accident. I don't think our president was all drinking before that speech.
No, I don't either. I think it's more like everyone thinks he's dumb.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I can pass one.
Each time he screws up a simple sentence.
Well, one strategery and you can't stop hearing about it.
That's another log in the stupid fire.
Well, in the sports world, if you had a UCLA in your championship bracket, it was a long night on Saturday as Florida dominated. Let's take a listen to the final call.
But that's going to do it. We're going to have this Florida team looking for more history on Monday nights. The Gators kicking in that extra gear in the second half.
There could be no worse animal for basketball than a gator.
Really?
Well, their belly's about a quarter inch off the ground.
Not a lot of vertical.
Arms, yeah, they don't have big ups. Gators, their arms are as long as my thumb.
Right.
I mean, it is a Bruin, a bear. See, this is the way I break it down. This is how I gamble. This is why I'm literally a millionaire. A bear on its hind feet, like a Kodiak bear with its arm up, could easily dunk a basketball.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Whereas a gator... Yeah, and then a fighting gamecock, forget about it.
What is a Buckeye?
It's the Buckeye State, yeah.
Yeah, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Is it a good shot or something?
It's a nut from the tree.
It's a nut?
From the Buckeye tree.
No.
There you go. Well, Buckeyes.
Why would you name your team after a nut?
Mm. Well,
why don't they just call them the Rosie O'Donnells?
Brian's head looks like a filbert, by the way, for those of you who want to know.
Well, the Ohio State Buckeyes had a fairly comfortable victory against the Georgetown Hoyas. Not sure what a Hoya is either, come to think of it.
Brian?
They lost. Brian? Oh, it's a dog.
It's a dog?
Okay.
Well, the hell.
Your mascot's a dog. I don't know.
Yeah, Once in a while, they don't have anything to, they just, they're called the Stanford Cardinal, but it's not Cardinal the bird, it's Cardinal the color, so everyone gets...
I thought it was Cardinal the religious position, because they get those really cool tall hats.
Everyone gets confused, so they just get a tree for a mascot.
Yeah. I like the Crimson Tide. That's
me
my
too.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Well, so
that
tonight
always makes me think of a girl cycle.
I know. That's why I like it. So tonight, the big championship game, Florida against Ohio State, should be a good game.
All right.
As I told you earlier, a child star in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know him from Family Ties. Here's what happened. It's not Danny Bonaducci.
I know, but I'm going to be talking about this friggin' guy for the next week.
Remember?
I hope he's somebody. If he's nobody, maybe I won't have to.
Okay, remember when Tina Yeathers wasn't as cute as she used to be, and they brought in the little kid to play Andy Keaton?
Yeah.
Right, she had a baby, and the baby was Andy, right? And I don't know how he got to 6.5 in a season and a half, but somehow there's a young kid out throwing around lines.
We did a thing called, on this thing we shot here yesterday, there's a thing called jumptheshark.com, and they were asking me what my opinion, what today's version of jumping the shark is. Because you remember Fonzie jumped sharks, and everybody said, okay, you've gone too far?
Right.
And I said, now it's bringing in the cute kid when your show's sinking. You bring in the cute neighbor kid. That's the new jumping of the shark.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they did with this kid.
Well, they've done that. I mean, that goes way back. Goes back to the Partridge Family. Goes back to the Brady Bunch.
Leonardo DiCaprio was the cute kid that came in. I can't remember which show. I want to say Growing Pains.
The Shield.
The Shield. Yeah, they brought. Well, this kid's name is Brian Bonsall. He's 25 years old now, believe it or not. And his girlfriend, who's 26, called police early Wednesday morning to tell them that Brian had poured an alcoholic drink in her face while she slept, put her in a chokehold, and threw her onto a bed several times when she tried to leave. As far as we know, he's still being held on $5,000 bond. He'll be formally charged tomorrow with felony second-degree assault and misdemeanor false imprisonment. Mm. When police first arrived, Bonsall told them that he only put his hands on Lindsay because she'd attacked him with a steak knife and slashed his arm and face, which she denied. So at first, police took both of them
into
custody.
Did he have slashes on his arm and face? Because that'll help
that
your argument.
That would help. Well, let's say this. She was released, so I'm guessing not.
Well, see, this stuff is good, but it's not good 20 years after you forgot who this guy was.
This guy, A, this guy's nobody, and B, this doesn't match my level of expertise.
What we need is somehow, I mean, the most satisfying part would be to watch the sitcom or watch the Barney episode or the, you know, Sesame Street or whatever it is, see the adorable little 6 and 7 year olds running around and then see their police blotter underneath them 20 years in the future. That would be surreal. That would be fun to watch. Going back this way is no fun because now you have to go, who was that kid? And it's not in syndication anymore and it's just not satisfying. Still good.
Well, this guy has had kind of a rough past. I had never heard any of this, but he's been stopped for a DUI a few times and his rap sheet includes a couple counts of failing to show up in court to face underage drinking charges. He's been investigated 2 previous times for domestic violence. He wasn't arrested either time.
Well,
so he's got a rocky past.
Danny could shed some light on this, but there's nothing worse in life than the step backwards. You see, it doesn't here's what I'm saying. Better you make, you know, $20,000 in 1990 and $30,000 in 1991. Then you make $100,000 in 1990 and $80,000 in 1991. Even though you're 50 grand ahead, you're still taking a step backwards. That part of life sucks, the step backwards. Now, these guys and a lot of these child stars, they're making a paycheck at age 5, 6, and 7 that they'll never see again.
Right.
Sure.
And you all know what it's like when you look at, you ever look at your tax return or whatever and you go, geez, I made less this year than I made last year, or 2 years ago I made twice as much as I made this year. It is a punch in the gut. Well, imagine.
This is the first time in 17 years I haven't made more money than last year.
And it sucks. And later on, when you're 7, so if you have that then your entire life, I mean, if you just have to be a civilian, you just take a job as a school teacher, janitor, what have you, you're never going to have the 10 grand an episode, which isn't even much by sitcom, whatever. You'll never make that kind of money again. And staring at that in your rear view must suck.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Well, here's the other problem that, that most people wouldn't think of, depending on how long you stay famous as a kid, because your face will change. But say you make $20 million in real estate, and then you lose it all. But you still have your car and a decent pair of pants and a jacket to wear. Nobody knows anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an ex-celebrity who blew it all, you wear the stamp loser on your face, especially when you're asking, is your steak the right temperature, sir? And they go, yeah, Partridge, it is. It's pretty good. But my soup's a little cold, Partridge boy.
Yeah.
That's a tough friggin' day.
If you lost all your money in the stock market, no one would know your face.
Being a rich busboy, I mean, being a famous busboy in job description world couldn't suck more. People are not very nice sometimes.
Yeah, man, there's nothing you can do because if you don't have the money,
have to feed myself.
It's not like you can't just retire. You can retire,
Yeah, there's no shame in having a job and a hard day's work.
Do you know what got me through that? Really, honestly, trying to be the very best busboy and then waiter and then assistant manager they had. I busted my ass because that was the only thing that could bring any pride to being a failure. Well, the blow helped.
And some coke, yeah. But
you know what? Assistant managers at Black Angus Steakhouse don't make a lot of extra blow money, Adam.
Well, you know who does? Jenna Jameson.
Yes, she does.
The porn star. Did you know she was dating one of these UFC guys, Tito Ortiz?
Yeah, I just met him.
Yes.
Apparently, they are a couple, and I don't know if that relates to her recent surgery, but reports are that Jenna Jameson had some surgery on her girl parts.
Mm-hmm.
She underwent a vaginoplasty.
Because that's the ultimate porn. I gave my vagina a boob job.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, she had a vaginoplasty, it's called, at a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. This, according to a source, and apparently, she's very unhappy with the result, and now she will not leave her home. She will not talk to anybody, and this is jeopardizing the movie version of her autobiography, which is called How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. She hasn't been showing up to meetings with producers, and they may pull the plug on her movie.
There are just how many double entendres were in that, really, exactly?
Yeah.
19.
First of all, while she's not showing up for meetings, you mean Jenna Jameson, the porn star, might be unreliable? That's just hard to even fathom.
The only reliable porn star in the business is Ron Jeremy, and he's the only porn star you wish wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Well, I guess if you do enough porn, maybe you do need some tightening and refreshing down
there. Sure. Boxers get cauliflower ear.
I actually asked Dr. Drew about that.
Although not from being punched, from me trying to do that to their ear. It was a different day.
What did Dr.
That's
Drew
why they have
to
headgear.
Well, I was on Love Line one night, and somebody was talking about their wife's private parts after having a baby. He said, nothing gonna do, man. It ain't going back the way it was.
Hold on. So, you spoke to Dr. Drew? Did he speak of me?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Were the kind words?
Please, ambivalent.
Please remember, Danny, did he talk about me?
Oh, are you gonna look at me like that?
Danny.
Yeah, no, yes, of course.
Okay.
No, he said it's not the same.
Really?
He said this guy, Strickler,
Stryker?
Of course, that I'm working with now is a fine young man, but you just don't replace. And then
he spoke lovingly about me.
He took off his glasses, and I think it was one of those fake moves so he could actually wipe the tear
There's
from
a
his
tear.
Eye.
There was a tear.
But he made it look like he was taking his glasses off.
He ignores my emails, but I know.
You just don't replace. Then, that was kind of it. We didn't have a lot of time.
That's all I needed. That's all I needed. That's all
what
I mean.
Did he say about the woman's vagina who'd had the baby?
I consider myself a nerd.
Because he said how much he missed Adam, the incredible professional.
Right.
But when asked about the woman's personal parts, he said, and a pompous ass. And I didn't really know what that had to
medical
do.
Medical term.
Right.
Yeah. No, he said that because I brought up the question, if a woman has hundreds of partners, will that make her, like if a guy's way bigger and other guy's way smaller, does that wreck it? And he said, no, that will never misshape. So it's not for multiple partners, most likely, according to Dr. Drew.
I don't think that Jenna Jameson has any kids.
Well, let me cut through the fog here. Please. As oftentimes we try to do in this show. Jenna Jameson, I know well. As a matter of fact, some guy I ran into in Arizona over the weekend when I was out there with Free FM, our affiliate out there in Arizona, treated me just fine. Thank you very much, guys. Said, I used to phone screen for you when you were doing your Mr. Burcham weekend show about 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
He said, you had some porn star in there as a guest, and I remember you worked her over with a cordless drill and a vibrating sander.
Huh. Oh, my God.
Which I did do. feather duster on the cordless drill, and then the vibro sander put a little silk.
Was she naked?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good times. And I said, you know who that porn star was? That was Jenna Jameson before she was Jenna Jameson. So we go way back. The thing about it is most of these, you know, we're always questioning this in media and society. When you're in porn, it means something went horribly wrong growing up. No matter what they say, oh, she was an honor roll student who did this just to work or just to pay off her college loans and blah, blah, blah. BS. There's something wrong. There's something horribly amiss in your childhood. Maybe you were molested, probably sexually abused, or you just come from a horrible, broken, whatever. Now, that and a bunch of coke can get you through the first 10 years of porn. You can go sailing along, but then at some point, something triggers those feelings. They all come rushing to the fore, and you lock yourself in your house, or you commit suicide, or you fill in the blank, whatever it is. Good name for porn, by the way, fill in the blank. The point is, we then want to talk about whatever the incident was that triggered it. Oh, right. Bad plastic surgery. Oh, boyfriend right. broke up with her. She killed herself. Oh, she drank too much. Oh, no, 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 no. Go way, 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 way back. That's where the nucleus is. That's where it started. So it doesn't make sense to me to explore what happened 15 years after right. what started it was. Let's go back and look at that. As a society, not interested in that. We have right. no interest. We have zero interest in that when it should be our only interest. Because well, that's yes. where the truth lies.
Okay. I actually read her book, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. And you're right. She did have she's very open about it. She had a very difficult childhood.
Her dad was a cop in Vegas.
Yeah. And then as a very young woman, she was raped on a boat by a bunch of guys. She had a really rough time.
That was a Minnesota Vikings football team. That happened just 8 months
ago. But, when you say concerned, you're right. But when I say concerned, I mean more interested. I'm kind of fascinated by what turned the girl next door into a girl on a trampoline. Oh, I forgot. I painted that on your show. Sir. No, it's just the last porno I watched. There was,
right.
really? There was a trampoline. Ron Jeremy was in it. All fat and old, too. I don't know what he's doing back. But there was one girl, and like all these guys on a trampoline, and she did things I had never quite seen before, which I thought kind of impossible. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, and she looked really normal. And I really did not only wonder, but was kind of riveted in my own mind, what snapped and when. Mm-hmm. What made this right. girl go, I'll do this, and beaming with a smile and making sure to look right at the camera.
I guarantee it all goes back to daddy.
Yes. Well, and in closing, I'll say this. Adam, you make a good point. It's probably not the bad vaginoplasty, but it's like they say, if it's hysterical, it's historical. That
no,
just triggered some
yes.
other thing.
And they do, by the way, have these surgeons all over the place now, and they do good work, and there are a lot of women who truly feel uncomfortable about how they appear down there.
You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo and da-da. And they do a good job, as far as I know. But this goes way back. Yes, T.
Yeah. So. Lastly, number one at the box office over the weekend, Blades of Glory. No, Blades of Glory making $33 million.
Isn't that what they took to her labia, the Blades of Glory?
No, that's the Will Ferrell, John Heater movie. Sorry. Meet the Robinsons, the animated movie, $25.1 million. And at number three, 300 about the Spartans. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, we'll take a break, and then an exciting moment in my life. Arlie Army is going to be on the show. Mail call on the History Channel. I think I've seen everyone that the gunny has served up.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
That's the line I was asking about.
Yes, not only great in Full Metal Jacket, I mean the best first half or even three quarters of a movie ever, but... God, if you IMDb this guy, you'll see he's been in 1,000 movies. All right, Arlie Ermey, the Gunny, Sergeant Gunny, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Who the said that? Who's the slimy little communist twinkle toe sucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? What's your name, scumbag?
And now, Arlie Ermey.
Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and my sister.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
The great Arlie Ermey. Been a fan of his since I discovered him in Full Metal Jacket and Mail Call. on the History Channel. Fridays, 10 o'clock, 8th season. Gunny.
Greetings.
Good to speak to you. First off, I'm a big fan of Mail Call.
Thank you. I have, it's huge fun doing Mail Call.
Yeah, one of the questions I have for you. Now, on Mail Call, he'll go out and get the vintage machine gun,
right,
the vintage rifle, and he'll go out and just fire away out in the desert. Where do you shoot that, and how does that work as far as permits and stuff goes? They'll just set up a bunch of watermelons, he'll set up a tripod, and start firing a 50 caliber belt-driven machine gun from World War II.
Now, see, if I had to guess, other shows ask a lot of permission. I'm guessing this guy doesn't.
Well, you see, we don't go and do this right downtown L.A., you know?
Be nice.
I mean, we find us a place where you're allowed to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're allowed to hunt, you're allowed to shoot. If you're allowed to shoot, then that's my kind of place. We just go out there and shoot.
And
what are they going to do? Come out there and catch us, arrest us?
Well, yeah. Not pretty heavenly armed.
Not until you're out of ammo, at least.
Hey,
yeah.
I just thought of something. Could you do me a wild favor? Mr. Carolla is a huge fan of yours and has 1,000 questions, so can I just get this out of the way?
What would that be,
my name is Danny Bonaducci.
You are, exactly.
Well, thank you, sir. Could you just say something to the effect of, Bonaducci, you scumbag, you make me sick.
Bonaducci, you unorganized, grab-assed piece of civilian poop. It's a family show, that's the problem. Give me 25, Danny. I think you're an all right guy, Danny. I listen to you a lot.
Thanks. That didn't quite go the way I expected, but okay,
wow,
thank you.
It's got a softer side.
It does. Yeah.
I want to know how, and I know you're in the Marine Corps for 11 years.
Well, I've been with the Marine Corps for 45 years.
All right.
They
retired
me in 1971, and I just kept showing up for work.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
So you were around Vietnam was where your theater was, right?
Yes.
And you did more than one tour in Vietnam?
I did, and I have more than 3 tattoos. And they're down below my sleeves, too. I wouldn't qualify anymore, I guess.
And, right.
Really? They just, tattoos disqualify?
Not below the sleeve.
Ah.
They don't like it anymore.
Long sleeve.
Plus, and by the way, all this weird tribal stuff and all this other crap, these guys look like X-Game rejects. The point is, you used to have one. It would be on the ship you were on, or
right,
it would be your best girl,
right,
and that was fine. But now they got a bunch of crap on there. Anyway, don't get me started.
Yeah,
Arlie,
call Dr. Tadoff.
Arlie, so you're in the Marines. You do a couple tours, 3 tours in Vietnam. Then you get out. But how does the whole acting thing go, and how does that get started? And am I right to say that you were supposed to be an instructor to the actor on Full Metal Jacket?
Well, yeah, but the objective was to go over and get the role. I had done 4 films, 5 films previously.
You had?
Prior to Full Metal Jacket. And when Stanley Kubrick called me up, trust me, my objective, I had read the book, and I knew who the characters were, and
mm-hmm,
when I accepted the job as technical advisor, it was simply to get my foot in that door.
Right, you knew what you were doing, but they didn't.
When I accepted the job as guest on this show,
right,
I got my foot in the door.
Danny, you got your foot in the door now.
Got my foot in the door, just wouldn't go. Everybody's
job is in jeopardy around here,
so you
right?
knew you were auditioning for this guy's job as you were training him.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't training that kid. He hadn't even gotten over there yet.
Oh, really? Ah. Who was supposed to play the role?
Well, now that would be real sweet for me to tell America that who got fired. Who? Nah, I can't do that. I promised him I wouldn't.
Is it somebody?
And I've gotten him 3 jobs since then.
And it's so is it somebody we would know?
Yeah, you'd probably know him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the thing is, I've gotten him a couple of jobs since then, and he and I are best friends. So
Newman from Seinfeld?
but anyway, that's...
Wallace Shawn.
Anyway, that's just the way it works, you know?
I understand.
And,
well, listen,
anyway,
I...
paid off the contract. It wasn't like he fired the guy.
Right.
Right.
Dude, it was so long ago. Relax. Who cares?
I know. I fell in love with Arlie when he did that Full Metal Jacket. Yeah, and then later on, of course, 7, people forget, he was the captain, 7, and Willard and Saving Silverman and Toy Story 1 and 2. But now, Mail Call, History Channel. And how does it work? Now, I know you get letters or emails from the public that want to know how things work, and then you just sift through them and figure out what's the most interesting?
Yeah, we get, it's historychannel.com. They send... folks have questions about anything about the military, past, present, and future, you have a question, you email historychannel.com, and when the bit stack that gets largest first gets massaged. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's so the way it always works. If it gets larger, they massage it.
And I got to say, Arlie Ermey, no wuss. I mean, he's flying with the Blue Angels. He's jumping out of airplanes. He's in submarines. I mean, they're throwing him out. I mean, he does stuff. How old a man are you, Arlie?
I'm 63.
60.
I'm pretty young yet.
Yeah, but I mean, here's a 60-year-old guy, because this is a few seasons ago, and he's being put in scuba gear and tossed out in the ocean and stuff. I mean, it's stuff I'm looking at going, I wouldn't do this stuff.
It's actually a walk in the park. I never have any problem with them. Well, I have one of the old gun will spit back in my face or something, a little smoke, a little burnt powder, but you know, they look out for me. I mean, mm-hmm. The last thing that my producer wants is for me to get eaten by a shark or, you know, something to happen.
It'd be funny if you were eaten by a shark and the guy you knocked off a Full Metal Jacket replaced you, it'd be poetic justice, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's funny.
Now,
I have taken jobs away from three different actors in three different shows. You didn't know that.
Tell us the shows.
Basically the same way. Purple Hearts. Sidney J. Fury directed that small film back in the 70s, early 70s. Purple Hearts. Boys and Company C was another.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not like it's not done.
Well, I'm sure it happens all the time. Speaking of bumping guys off, how many kills you get in Vietnam?
Good question.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I dropped bombs, so you figure.
Oh, you were in the Marines, but you're flying in the Marines.
I was I got to ride door gunner on helicopters. You know, I was transportation. Did a lot of transportation.
Yeah, but you didn't get to collect ears and stuff like that. The good part.
No.
So you're hanging out of a Huey firing a gun.
A few times.
A few times.
That way, I liked it because I got to go to every fire base that we had. I went to Chu Lai Phu Bai Dong Ha, the Rock Pile, Kaesong.
Two of those are my favorite place to eat in Koreatown.
So you would go in and you'd be hanging out of the side of the Huey. What were you firing? 50 caliber machine gun?
We had 50 cals. We have 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, it was different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, I mean, you want to take, you know, you want to just distill. I mean, there's people that are in the military, and they're the folks that are in the rear with the gear, right. And then there's the ones that are crawling around as snipers, and then the ones that are...
They say for every one person in combat, there's like 10 people supporting that individual.
Yeah.
That's where Saddam Hussein fell short, was he put all these people out in the middle of nowhere, out in the desert, and then he didn't feed them, and he didn't supply them, he didn't resupply them with water.
Yeah.
And that's why they surrendered. That's why they lost.
I was just going to say, hanging out of an open helicopter with a 50 caliber machine gun on it that basically just had a rope on it so you could swing it around that was right. Driven by a belt. That is as in the military as you're going to get in just firing whatever looks good on the ground. You know what I mean? A lot of guys are in the military, but they're in the radio room of a ship that never goes to hostile waters. That is as in action as there could as you could possibly be.
But the way it works is everybody pulls their share of the load and one can't do it without the other. You know, so you're supporting units as well.
Forget those pussies. You were in country.
Work 24 hours a day in some
work
cases.
Smart.
I mean, they work.
Listen,
hard,
there's
know.
Chicks down the hall in a cubicle that work 40 hours a day. Who cares? They're not heroes.
It's like in Vietnam and like the war that we're involved in now. There is no front line.
Well, can
you know?
We win?
Everybody's on the front.
Let's
line.
Talk Iraq very quickly. Can we win that war? And how do we win it?
We are winning the war. Who told you we're losing the war?
I keep hearing that from
Rosie, and I keep hearing it from other sources, other far liberal sources. And when I ask them, how are we losing the war, they want to come up with some feeble excuse about we haven't trained enough people. Then they they're idiots because they don't realize that we've trained all the grunts in the world. We've got hundreds of thousands of grunts over there we've trained, but how long? It takes the Marine Corps 30 years to teach somebody how to be a sergeant major. Mm-hmm. And generals don't just grow on trees. I mean, colonels don't either. I mean, it takes a long time to train leadership, and that's what we're doing now.
Arlie Ermey, by the way, from a mail call, is our guest, History Channel, Fridays, 10 o'clock. I watch a show religiously. As a matter of fact, it's in my things to do, my TiVo. It's on my menu on the TiVo. But last question, Arlie. You think we are winning over there in Iraq? And
I've been over there.
And the mail, and what we're getting here is it's spun by the media, by the liberal media.
It's totally spun. If you listen to the Communist News Network, you are totally misinformed. That's what happened. That's why we lost the Vietnam War.
You mean CNN?
Right.
The subversive media had everybody in America convinced that we were losing the war in Vietnam and we should pull out.
Right.
When what it was the media. Because of the media, we had so many rules and regulations. We were not allowed to fire our rifles.
I was going
to
ask that.
Fired at. That's stupid. You might not get your turn. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying to people when they go, "It's Vietnam all over again." I'm going, "Yeah, it is Vietnam all over again." The media's screwing this thing up. Everyone's freaked out. We want to pull out of something we can win.
Let me ask you two quick questions.
One, I'm an American.
Here's something I have always heard.
What's that?
That we never lost a battle in Vietnam, not
we
one.
We never lost a battle, but we pulled out because...
Right, but we never actually lost a fight.
Oh, we never lost a battle, no.
Now, isn't that weird? We lost a war and never lost a battle. And two, there's a cat that may outrank you that kind of tried to get into your way, your business, and is nowhere near as good as you. But I just want to know if he's as good as an American as you. There's a special forces guy named Dale Dye.
Oh, I know Dale. I've known Dale since he was a Lance Corporal.
Now, he's a big old special forces secret guy, right?
No, he's recon. He was just a grunt. Dale was a captain of Marines.
And now you'll see him. He's a silver-haired guy that plays the calmer version of this gentleman's parts. If you need the guy that's going to come in and kill everybody, you call Arlie.
He was on Entourage last season when he was training, what's the name, for Aquaman.
Dale Dye.
He's very well-versed when it comes to anything that's going on in the military these days.
All right, Arlie, just because he's on another station, we probably won't talk about him too much longer.
Well, I'll say this. Even if you agree or disagree with Arlie, I'm sure that you have a lot of fans among the armed forces, yes?
I give them probably 150 days a year I spend with the military.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, we need to pay attention to these young people. They're doing America's jobs over work over there and keeping us free. But, they're dedicated, very patriotic, hard charging devil dogs over there that are sacrificing a lot for this country. You should just try to live over there for a week in that sand and that mess.
No,
Arlie, please tell me, just because it'll be funny, you have a couple of gay sons.
No, I had a gay brother.
Well, did you guys get along?
Tell Arlie killed him.
You didn't kill him, did you?
No, I don't know what happened to Mike. He, what happened to him? He sure got turned around, though, but got his head unscrewed. But he was gay, and he was up in San Francisco. I mean, where do you go when you're gay, right?
You could also go to Palm Springs, to be fair.
Parts
of Florida are nice, too.
Yeah, Fire Island.
I'm pretty sure if you're gay, you can get laid just about anywhere.
Do you not talk to your brother anymore?
I don't think he's alive.
Oh, no, he died of AIDS a few years back.
Oh, but, sad.
Nice kind of word, Adam. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's the way it works. And the way he explained it to me, it wasn't a gene that got in him. It was his first sexual experience, and he was hooked.
It wasn't nature or even nurture.
It was some guy named Gene.
It was the next door neighbor, I guess, or something.
When he was a teenager?
When he was a little boy, yeah.
Did you know that right before Adam asked you about your dead gay little brother, he won the Man of the Year award? And I just thought we want to keep that one going.
I was trying to make a joke, and we stumbled onto a poignant truth. That's all.
Well, I'm so sorry that you lost your brother, Arlie.
Well, you know, I'll go one of these days, too, but that's the way it is.
You guys
know,
won't
born,
be seeing
we,
each other.
We pay
that's
taxes and
sure.
we die. That's the regulation.
Were you on good terms with your brother before he died?
Oh, absolutely.
good.
Well, that's
I got
great.
Drunk one time and was really on good on terms with your brother, but that was just the one time.
Oh, now shoot him next episode of Mail Call.
You are an extraordinary gentleman, man. You have a good sense of humor. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys check out Mail Call. It's on at 8 o'clock Friday night, this Friday night. Usually it's on at 10 o'clock.
We never miss it.
I understand that seasons 1 through 7 are available on DVD now.
I think you're absolutely right.
You're the richest DI in the business.
Well, you know, we keep plugging along.
The second richest makes 18 grand a year, to be fair.
That's right.
Arlie, thank you very much.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Semper Fi. Carry on. Big fans of the show.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when Mail Call's on.
Surprising story. All right,
Mail Call, something my brother yelled out a couple times.
Yeah, is he gone so I can just start kicking you and laughing at you now?
That was
you got any gay kids? No, got a dead brother, died of AIDS, just a gene from the next door neighbor, very first experience, killed him dead,
thanks
for calling.
He was trying to separate himself genetically from his brother.
He was trying to separate his brother from his neighbor with a crowbar.
I must say that I am 100% when I say, how's your brother? Do you have a situation? Whatever. Somebody died in a plane crash. Somebody died on 9/11. Somebody's died of AIDS. I mean, as I was asking the question, I thought, you know, oftentimes the lion's share of the time I try to make a joke, you got a couple of gay sons, it backfires on me. But as I was saying it, yeah. I thought, here are the choices. Either this is going to be funny and he's going to explain that he doesn't, or he's going to say that he does and it'll be interesting, uncomfortable for me, but interesting for the folks
very
who are listening.
You know what? For the most part, you're right. On that part, you're wrong. I never once felt uncomfortable. The second he said it, if there was an uncomfortable feeling, it was being participatory of the uncomfortable feeling that never came.
He did.
He didn't give you a hard
time.
He
jump right into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had a brother was gay.
He was an open
neighbor, deader Nixon, buried upside down.
Well, the, you know why?
Well, he's a bicycle stand now.
Oh, Jesus, Danny.
I don't even get that.
Good Lord.
Good Lord, somebody stop him.
Here's the point.
What's the point, girl?
First off, boy, you want to talk about a parent, you know, it's like, well, what's one son doing? Well, he runs a cabaret in
San Francisco.
Daddy, who's the
Saturday
other?
Saturday Night Shift at Daddy.
You know the guy from Full Metal Jacket? Yeah, that's my other son. Like, holy good Christ, really? Talk about range as a family.
The one that's got hands of steel and the other one that does jazz hands. Those are my boys.
Right. There's drilling.
They're both called the drill sergeant.
So ugly you can be a modern art masterpiece.
$5 we can do this for the next 20 minutes till Angie comes in here and kills us for being so late.
Or God just drops an one of those speakers on all our
okay, hands. Time has passed.
God's happy with us right now.
As I've said many times.
Neither leaves a man in the field.
The gays aren't big fans of this.
Neither leaves a man behind.
Come on, buddy. We're going home.
Take it home. All
right. Now, where the hell were we? Here's my point.
There are no atheists in foxholes.
Oh. I'm pushing forward because I have something called dignity, I'm out of ass double entendres.
Mr. Man of the Year.
Have you had an ass full of this?
Have said this about the gays many times. There are created by birth, created by God, and then there's created in the lab. And when I say the lab, the neighbor's basement.
Right.
You can get in and you can screw with somebody's sexuality. Once in a while, somebody comes out wired a certain way, and then other times people cut into your circuit board and rewire you. Now, that can't happen when you're 25, but when you're 9, it can happen. And that's what so oftentimes happens. And I don't know why, but I don't think the gay community likes this kind of talk because it suggests that they were created.
Yeah, it makes it sound as though they've been broken, and they're not.
I got to tell you.
Yes, they have been broken, but it doesn't matter. What it is what it is. I know that sounds horrible, but your sexuality, your sexuality is your sexuality once you become an adult. I don't know if Arlie Ermey's brother would have been gay had he not been molested by the neighbor. I'm going to guess he wouldn't have been gay. So in that sense, I think he was broken. On the other sense, he shouldn't be judged. He should be able to get married and go along with his life with the same partner.
This is why I hate everybody equally, because I think like black, white, brown, gay, straight, I'm pretty much not a fan until you do something nice for me. But I think gay people are just born biologically gay. They're gay from the second they're born. They're little baby gay guys, and they don't know it yet, and they grow up, and they're gay. And I don't think they're turned gay necessarily. I think something can happen, but I think if you're born gay, you're born gay. I say, pre-op?
Yes.
Born gay. Didn't nothing happen to him to turn him gay? He wasn't not going to be gay someday. He was going to be gay all day long.
Well, you're saying what I'm saying, which is a lot of the gay homosexual population was born gay, and then there's a segment that got... well, just like anything in your childhood, let's put it this way. Your dad beats the crap out of you for a few years, and then you end up beating the crap out of people later on in life. This is something, not that it's a negative that way, but what I'm saying is when you're young and impressionable, right. Well, there's the word, impressionable, something gets done to you while
but
you're impressionable.
Impenetrable.
Things get done to you in a good way. Things get done to you in a bad way. Right. Things get done to you in terms of your sexuality that's not either good or bad, but yet impression.
So it's Dante Alighieri's seven layers of gay. And that is, you're born gay. I've only got three of them so far, though. You're born gay, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're made gay. And it's because somebody did something to you. And then you're me. You're straight. You just want to wear their clothes.
Right. Worst yeah. dip I've ever had, by the way, the seven layers of gay.
Well, I'm going to take from this. I'm going to take from this that, Adam, you believe in gay marriage.
I am. Look, I am. Whatever you are, when your brain, there's a point in life where your brain is wet. And that's why when you perpetrate crimes on children, you right. should be killed.
Yes.
Because you are putting your initials into their wet sidewalk.
It can't be undone.
And it will be there until they're in their 80s. And they will then take what you carved into their wet brain and they will put it onto their kids. And their kids will do their kids. And they'll do it to the neighbor's kids. And will create a society of whatever you carved into the kid's
well,
head.
Whether your question was, do you believe in gay marriage?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too. And if you love anybody, you should love them.
And once you are what you are, you are what you are, and there's no undoing that. But I'm not so naive, and after 10 years of doing Loveline, I do realize we can create people in the lab as well.
I just want to be the maid of honor so I can truly bedazzle and get it out of my system.
We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, good news. Ozzy and Ray are here. Yeah. They have themselves a movie review. I think they saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
Which we're hoping to be number one again this week, but it turns out it was like number 15. Anyway, they'll be here with a story and a movie review next on the Adam Carolla Show.
I say Adam, and he says...
Adam?
I say Hoffman, and he says...
Osman.
Adam.
Adam?
Hoffman. That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says...
Racist.
I say confusion, and he says...
Confusion.
Racist.
Racist.
Confusion.
Confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
What's happening, Ozman?
Good morning, America.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ozzy, you and Ray went out and reviewed what movie this weekend?
TNNT.
And that stands for?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Some of it was right.
Yeah.
Right. So Ray, and you saw that. Let's get started with the review before Ray tells a story, and we'll get to that in a couple of few.
Oswaldo
and Ray.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us.
The movie that Ray and I are reviewing today is TMNT. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's why we sent you. Shooters too easy to pronounce.
Absolutely. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles star the voices Jane Arnold. Mm-hmm. Taylor is Leonardo. Nolan North is Raphael. And the Night Watcher. And Sarah Michelle Gerard is April O'Neil.
Raphael was perfect.
Yeah, and Galar would not have been perfect until we just realized from Joel that she changed her name to Galar.
Right. Now you're going to have to change back to Galar. You didn't get the news.
Right.
You can't pronounce anyone's name how they pronounce it. You thought it was Sarah Michelle Gellar, so you'd been pronouncing it Gellar all these years. Now she's throwing a curveball at you, Ozzy. She pronounces it Gellar now, so you better go back to Gellar.
Gellar.
Tell us more about the movie.
Yeah. Before Ninja Turtle, Rafael, Leonardo, Donatello, and Michelangelo separate from each other looking for different things in this life. For example, Michelangelo live in Central America and protect the natives in the one country town.
Mm-hmm. The natives, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The master explained to the Taurus that the survive, they have to unite the forces.
They gotta unite. They gotta reunite.
Yeah,
right.
Reunite,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Forces,
yeah,
yeah.
They split up.
Right.
You know, one is that nothing too is strong.
Yeah, sure.
Here is a clip where Leonardo realized that they need Rafael.
Why do we need clear, Raph anyway? Ryan? It's his temper that always jeopardizes all our missions.
Okay, Leo, whatever you say. Nobody was talking about him.
Leonardo, this team you are so eager to lead is incomplete.
They call
you
him an
know
a-hole?
What you must do.
Yes, Sensei.
Mm-hmm. I never did get this, but maybe I'm too old for it. But it's still, you know, once in a while you skate by something and you go, Rugrats, I'm too old, but it looks like a good cartoon. Or there's other cartoons like SpongeBob SquarePants where you go, I'm too old, but I can tell this is a funny cartoon. Right. Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles always look like crap to me.
They always look like crap to me, but they had great, they had a really good villain, Shredder.
Uh-huh.
Was a really good villain because he had gloves you could put your hands with huge razors on them, and they called him Shredder, and that was kind of cool.
Right.
But aside from a really good villain, it was always a stupid cartoon.
Cowabunga.
You know, everybody is too old.
Is that what they say, Ray?
Yeah. Cowabunga, dude, this, that. It was.
Talk about
God.
Creative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they're 20 somethings now, aren't they?
The Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Turtles lived 140, so they're still in their teens, technically.
By turtles. Gotcha.
You know how we have dog years? We have turtle years. I mean, you got to think of it this way. We do the dog year thing where it's like, well, they lived to 9 or 10, so that's 7 to every one of ours. But what about elephants and turtles and parrots and stuff that live longer than us? Shouldn't we have years to them?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't we be like 4 months to every turtle year? It's depressing.
Only if they're discussing us. See, two elephants would have to be standing
you
around.
You don't know. You don't know if
I don't
a parrot is talking to a turtle somewhere.
God, dude, you know, we're really old compared to that human being.
And then the turtle's like, cowabunga. And the parrot's like, I will peck your goddamn eye out if you
this
use
that. Is
David
very
slang again.
Interesting.
One turtle year has passed.
All right, go ahead.
Even you are mad and your brother, you never kill.
Huh? What?
There's a rivalry.
You know, even you are
there's
mad.
A rivalry between the turtles?
You never kill in your blood.
Huh? The turtles, your blood?
No. Listen carefully, kid.
All right, go ahead.
Kid.
Go ahead. He meant kids, but go ahead.
Even you are mad, your brother, you never kill.
Oh, my apologies.
Your blood.
Blood's thicker than water.
Rivalry I understand.
Between
oh, my
God.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
that's
think.
Just what that was, yeah.
Okay.
I'll say, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, let this reviewer call.
And Ray.
All right, well, there's good kid movies, and then there's crappy kid movies.
Right.
There's those, you know, Finding Nemo movies, which
great
are
movie.
Fun
great
for
great
the whole
movie.
Family, and then there's this. Was this
Ice
bad,
Age.
Ray? Did
it
this
was
blow?
Listen, the weirdest thing was buying a single adult ticket.
Because it seemed like you were there to score.
Yeah, and getting the leers. I waited until the house lights went down before I sat down. It was I tried to rent one at Chris's clan, and it didn't happen.
But it's a good place to meet a MILF.
Chris, by the way, is an old friend of ours.
With six kids.
Who was involved with the poop incident over at North Hollywood High, who has a bunch of kids
was
that
he?
He'll rent out. He was he?
Yeah, he was.
Please.
How was Chris involved with the poop
do
incident?
Do not make me get out the DNA test.
We were like the three musketeers of excrement.
That might have been Chris's excrement?
No, Adam, start talking.
I've said enough. I'd rather move on to some of Ray's story that didn't involve my ear, but did involve his mom's best friend's ear.
Ah, well, you've got my ear.
Remember heavy set Kathy?
Yes, who you called a guard for the Rams.
Right.
That's the way to get laid right there.
Well, there's two stories to that, and two that involve Kathy. One, her ear, which Ray violated while she was on the phone, and another that just involves her ear being violated by words that sometimes hurt. She was a 250-pound woman who lived in the apartment downstairs from Ray's crappy apartment, and she burst into his apartment looking for her young kid, grabbed him by his ear, and started to drag him out, yelling at him the whole time. When she left in the kitchen, I said, Jesus, Ray, who is that? That sack, she could play guard for the Rams. That bitch is so big. And then when she came back into the room, Ray said, Kathy, I want you to meet my friend Adam. He says you're so fat, you can play guard for the Rams.
See, wait, you're forgetting about the whole crush part she had on you.
Oh, she had a crush?
She took a liking to Adam. And she'd
have a crush on anyone she got next to because she would physically crush him.
Oh, if she was
him.
On top, would she be a crush? Come on.
Why would anybody ever tell him anything?
It's one of these things where somebody comes in yelling and screaming and goes to the other part of the house, and you turn to the person to your right, which unfortunately happens to be Ray. Right.
Oh, Jesus, who is that huge chick?
And the next thing you know, he tells her straight to her face.
Or yells out, hey, my friend here wants to know who the huge chick is. What's your name?
He brought her back and then introduced me and explained that. But then later on, she was in the dining room of the apartment, and she was on the telephone. Now, one ear was being occupied by the telephone, but the other was open. And she was sitting on a chair.
Open for me.
And Ray walked in. Now, this is the best friend.
Yeah, here we go.
Just a little insight. The best friend, Ray's mother's best friend. Ray, what are you, 16 at the time?
Yeah, 16, 15.
15, 16. Ray comes walking into the living room naked, or maybe had a towel on, but he dropped the towel, and he proceeded to violate her open ear with his phallus.
Now, I don't know how long ago that was or if it's a simpler time, and I was a simpler woman.
It was pre-AIDS.
But people sue you for everything today. If you stick your wang in a chick's ear when she's not ready.
I wanted to show Teresa my turtle today, but that was clipped.
But just you know, your friend hasn't changed much, although I happen to have, I was into it and wanted to see it, wanted to tell you. But just you know, he said, come here, I want to show you something. I brought this so you can tell me something. And then gave me a naked picture of himself not an hour ago.
Really?
I want him to guess my body fat.
All right, Ray. Well, the point is, Ray
psycho guy.
I like him. Ray looked great, by the way.
Ray, so true or false, you did or didn't put your pee-pee in your mom's best friend's ear?
True.
All right.
How many times?
I remember screaming. It was funny. People have no reaction.
Is the foreplay that you massage her nostril?
No foreplay.
Just right in.
Straight to whatever needs to be done. Please.
I love that story.
He's got a lot of boundary.
I'll bet you get chicks, too.
Oh, yeah.
I do well.
Ray's very good looking.
I've known, there's a guy that I went to school named Bo. And he was just... I don't want to describe him as an animal and then compare him to Ray, but there was nothing this guy wouldn't do
in the
sense of he had no censor. Like, if a girl was fat, he'd go, is it more fun to bone a fat girl like you or not? And then she'd do it. He'd say to her friend, well, you're real thin. You think that was better? Let's bone. And she'd go, hey. He'd get chicks all the time.
Ray's always got tons of chicks.
I think Ray has the Stanley Kowalski animal magnetism thing, and he actually does have a warm heart.
Cavemen get laid more than computer nerds.
That's true.
Right.
Ray, another quick story.
Bring back the club, then.
I don't know why, but I was telling this to a horrified Mike Lynch, the writer here on the staff. When people hear about these stories of our childhood, they are horrified. Remember, Ray and I both played football over at North Hollywood High. Remember where the varsity lockers were?
Yeah.
In the back? It was called the cage. And the reason it was called the cage is because floor to ceiling, they put the varsity lockers in the back of the locker room and they surrounded it with a chain link cage, a chain link fence. Right. They just sealed it off. And it was one of those kind of institutionalized slash prison. It wasn't chain link fence. It was stiff. But you slam the door and you couldn't get out. You could only get out through the door. I guess they had the varsity lockers in a cage in the back because we had expensive equipment maybe in our lockers.
And we needed bigger lockers.
And then bigger lockers, and they didn't want them broken into. Now, do you remember the problem with the cage, Ray?
What part?
The door.
Oh, yeah. If you shut it, you couldn't open it.
The handle was broken.
That's right. The handle was busted.
Was broken off the cage door. Right. And,
perfect.
And it was a spring-loaded latch. So all you had to do is fling the door shut. It shut. And whoever was in the cage was locked in the cage until somebody went and got some vice grips or needle-nose pliers to stuff in there. Now, it probably had been that way since the 40s. I don't know why no one ever just figured out it wasn't going to work. But
and you had to have a hanger in your locker to get out.
If you got into the cage, you couldn't get out of the cage for a long time. And if you wanted to screw with someone, you'd leave. And if there's one guy left in there, you just slam the thing and it'd take him 20 minutes to get out. Well, we discovered a better idea for the cage.
Of course you did.
Which is, if you stood on top of the lockers, lockers were what, about 6-7 feet off the ground, you know, and they just had big flat top landings on them.
Right.
You could leap from one row to the next row to the next row, and the lockers extended forward enough. Oh yeah, really tall ceilings, old locker room. The also the lockers would extend forward, so they're just about 3-4 feet from the edge of the cage. So the point is there's nowhere in the cage that you could go where you couldn't be accessed by the guy on top of the locker. Now, I don't, when I say access, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but let's just say you drank a bunch of beer and you really had to make a tinkle.
Yeah, let's just say that.
Let's say he had a type of a shower.
We might throw him up on top of the thing and then throw some poor guy into the cage and slam the door, in which case there was no way he could escape the reign of terror. The literal reign of terror. That's all right. He was near the showers. It wouldn't. He could get in there. But
see, doesn't anybody take? I come from a family that would take that as such an offense. You'd need to be killed.
Well, there's nothing you could
kill you.
Nothing you could do because
I weigh 225.
The guys that were doing it, you couldn't kill. Now, I guess you could shoot them, but
yeah,
it was a simpler time.
Yeah,
and people didn't do that. But oh, we would go drag some poor scrub and toss him into that cage. Or once in a while, be one of us who got dragged into the cage. And by the way, whatever we did to anyone else, we did it 10 times as bad to ourselves. But
that's what I've noticed about you too. If you tell us terrible story that you did to somebody, all of a sudden Ray shows up with the guy from 8 years ago that had the bat.
Yes.
And revenge is mine, saith the Lord.
Adam, let him go.
That somebody,
Adam, show compassion.
That every now and again, you guys do better stuff and worse stuff for each other that makes this friendship kind of make sense to me.
Right.
Good times at high school, kids.
Nice.
That was great.
Ray, how many absent days did you have your senior year out of a possible, like,
there was 176 school teaching days, and I was gone 122. And still graduated.
And still graduated, everybody.
And urinated at my graduation.
Yes, thank you.
Next to you.
What do you mean at? In the urinal?
You have a gown.
No. We had a gown. I had a gown on.
And just went.
He went out on the football field with the gown.
When the commencement was going on.
You mean after your valedictorian speech?
I did after that.
120 out of 160, everybody, and still graduated.
God, they made a big deal. I missed 65 days.
Oh, wait, we have Ray's. We have Ray's.
A little bit of Ray's
speech. Yeah, here's the speech.
Whoa,
all right, we need to take a break when we come back.
He's going
to
study zoology.
When we come back, it is Monday. It is Music Monday.
Good topic this week.
It is best, but more importantly, worst songs to have sex to. This is a song that you would or would not want playing during the act. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Music Monday next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's another Music Monday. This time around, we're talking about the best and worst songs to get laid to. Adam, Danny, and Teresa have theirs, so let's get it on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're getting back to basics with Music Monday. Just straightforward. What do you want to hear? What don't you want to hear? What couldn't you work with in the set? We're each going to do one good, and then the rest will be bad because it's funnier. 866-901-ADAM, you tell us yours. We'll get started on the happy side in the sack. This is the one. Well, if this is playing, not only do I think is it going to help the lovemaking, but if a neighbor's like mowing his or her lawn next door and just hears this coming from the bedroom, it's like the UPS guy may join in, the maid may join in.
I gotta tell you, I haven't had it in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But this song, you the can't. Gardener from outside could come over and weed whack my ass, and I
really?
Can still do it. But if I come to think of it, that might just be cool.
It was a simpler time when brothers didn't sing about popping a cap in people's ass, yeah. Or if they did, it meant something else.
Right.
Yeah. Barry just
I love you, baby.
Man, his whole life.
I love you, baby.
He just get his he just get his orchestra. Was he Love Unlimited Orchestra or was that Isaac Hayes? Maybe that was Isaac. Oh, Isaac Hayes. Barry White. Who cares? The point is he just get people to start jamming, and then he'd be like, "Hey, my dear, take off that brassiere." Must have been great going in the recording studio with Barry White. Like, piano, lay down something funky. Drums, get on the cymbals. All right, let's start. Roll tape.
I'm horny. You like the way that feels? You smell good, girl. Come here. I don't care if we're related. I got you them panties? Well, then I can take them back. Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's just 8 minutes of guys just playing wappa 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 on a guitar.
Are you implying that Mr. White didn't always have words written down when he came in?
He was freestyling?
Just come on in. Because I would think with Love to Love You, Baby, once he said that, he could go with Love to Love You, Baby. I'm hung up. I love to love you all night long. No doubt. I love to love you slow. Well, you got those pipes.
Gretchen just vomited.
No, Gretchen just said, why is he a lying bastard? It was Barry White, not me, baby. If I was describing me, I'd have gone with Flash Gordon.
Do you do the dirty talk?
We've tried it recently, just recently, and it was actually because Gretchen and I don't do, like I said, I never do anything weird. But Gretchen asked me to the other night about, I don't know, I haven't had it in a while, this is weird. About a week ago, I guess. And it worked out kind of nicely. Because I worked in this rock star I know she has a crush on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right, right.
Wow, you have a good memory, dude.
Right. All right.
You know I'm going to have to kill this guy once this goes too far, right?
Let's, Bald Brian, let's keep, guy from the Goo Goo Dolls, yeah. Right. Let's push forward here. That was on the good side in the sack. This is on the bad side. Now it's got a good beat. As a matter of fact, I always dug this song. Sublime.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, I know what happened.
That's right. Well, it's right in the title, Date Rape.
That's not a good song for sex.
Yeah, I think, I think that well-placed grunt where when he says date rape would probably work.
It.
Yeah.
Wait, is it coming up?
Yeah, let's see. It's going to take a second to get to the story. There's still the part where he's drugging the chick and dragging her back to the hotel.
It does have a nice beat.
Yeah.
Maybe a little fast for sex.
And let's see, let's see. Now, hey. Baby, oh. Oh, wait, we got there. And the singer's dead, too, by the way. OD'd, yeah. Just when things got out of control, she didn't want to. He had his face. She said, let's go. He said, no way. Come on, babe, it's your lucky day. Shut your mouth, we're gonna do it my way. Come on, baby, don't be afraid. Hand me the lube.
So, yeah. You totally covered up the rape.
Right. Now she just thinks we're getting it on to some funny reggae jam.
Good job.
All right. Maybe I could work with that song.
Yeah, but think of how much you'd have to focus during sex to cover up the rape.
That's right. And I can't talk on the deck, the compression stroke, only the intake stroke.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Wait, you're saying there's just a vernacular he could use that would disguise this whole thing?
No, if he grunts over the actual...
Yes, know. if I could actually clear my throat when they physically say date rape.
Be better.
I think I could use this song. All right, well, let's go on to my next song in the bad department. Well, an oldie but a goodie, but one you know well if you listen to this show. Clint Holmes.
Yep.
Number two, baby, on the charts, way back in the 70s. When the
the world gets me down. And there's no love.
The thing I find surreal about this song,
I close my eyes,
is Vietnam was still going on when this song was at the top of the charts.
People needed a playground in their lives.
If you're going to do that, I Think I Love You was number one at the height of the Vietnam War.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they needed a bubblegum.
Yeah, that's what they needed. The white kids dressed up like Superfly in red velvet. That made everybody feel better.
This is the part that really ruins the sex.
If I'm talking to a girl and I got a nickel and I'm getting sex, I've cut the best deal ever. Okay?
Yeah, I couldn't.
Because I know Adam had this discussion one day about the appropriateness of tipping a masseuse. Mm-hmm. I'm like an expert in that area. And if you look at a girl and you say, I got a nickel, my name is Michael, and she says, okie dokie, soldier, which is weird.
But does nickel mean anything in drug terms, like dime bag means something?
Well, you got a
nickel mean, it also is on the element of... nickel can mean a million
element,
things. This
yeah.
means he means 5 cents.
Well, when the world's cheapest guy splits a dime bag with a super cheap buddy,
yeah,
that's how it works.
Nickel.
Right.
And nobody gets very high.
Could not perform right now.
No. Really?
No. I'd rather have my grandmother slapping me in the ass when I did it than listen to this song.
Oh, it's not that good when she does it.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
Well, Danny's grandma.
Oh, my grandma was great at it.
Sorry, all right, that's
passed.
Enough. It's killing the wood of the show. Let's do one more before we go to break.
I think we just all have really sexual different tastes. I could do it to all of them.
Well, now this song...
I've got a few that'll
with living you. People.
This next song sounds like something you could do it to.
So far, it's nice.
Yeah. See, I'm not actually doing it yet in my head. Doing other stuff. We're going to have to do it.
Ben Folds song.
I like it.
Oh, I don't want to have sex with anybody with folds.
Great. Chubby Chaser. Great.
I don't mind.
Great song. Tell Ben Folds.
6
came on my old radio show.
Day after Christmas.
And I said, Ben, what is this song about? He said, about abortion.
So nice.
Smell of coal. Car seat is freezing.
Oh.
The world is sleeping.
Tea, losing it?
Yeah. Now it's over.
All right, let's just switch to oral.
Because then you start thinking, what if this birth control method doesn't work?
Baby, stop talking.
Yeah, you're wrecking him for me. Shut up.
Sorry.
All right, well, that is Ben Folds' brick. We need to take a break. We will take your suggestions at 866-901-ADAM. We'll also hear Danny and Teresa's. They got a good song. They got two bad ones. I got my number one stuff.
Do you guys get this? This is... Because I was a little confused at first. It's like you're already kind of doing it.
Oh, I'm sitting down already. All right.
It's like you're already kind of doing it, and the stereo comes on by accident. Like Fonzie hits it with his fist, and it just comes on.
Right.
Right.
It's a song that would, like, enhance what you're already doing. Going, yo, yeah, this song.
You kick into overdrive.
Or Fonzie hits the stereo, and it just turns on in the middle of sex, and you just lose wood. You're just done.
You pull the keys out and throw it into
a lake.
That's
when we say good. It's like, it made it all better. We say bad. It's just, you can't possibly perform. That's what we're looking for at 1-866-901-ADAM.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with that next.
Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. We're doing the best and worst songs to get laid to. Call 866-901-ADAM and let the Ace Man know what you put on when you're getting it on the Adam Carolla Show.
Who's the black private dude?
I love that part where they go, but nobody knows him like it's lady. But then they're talking about nailing chicks all the time. It was a simpler time.
I'm talking about Shaft.
All right, T.
Yes.
Let's tee up your best.
Well, this was hard because rhythmically it cannot be too fast because I think guys have a tendency to kind of jackhammer away as it is. And I don't want to,
I stopped doing the saber dance. I stopped playing that one. Fly to
is
the bumblebee.
Is it true what women want is a half hour of solid jackhammering?
No. On the other hand, you don't want anything too slow. So I picked this song, Number One Crush.
Now, who is this?
Garbage.
Ooh, yeah, they are good.
This chick's like 42 and red hot.
Literally red.
Shirley Manson.
Hot.
It's got kind of a hard industrial beat, but it's not too hard. And I like the message.
Yeah.
Actually, I hate to admit this, but I like the message.
I don't think, I think I've asked every girl I've ever loved if she'd die for me. And I think I probably cut myself to the point that I would. I get a little weird sometimes, kids.
Really? What did Gretchen say? Did you ask her?
Yeah.
Gretchen? She said, Gretchen is not for us. She goes, no, what are you, stupid? So then I carved her name in my arm, and she called me stupider.
Danny, I would go into a vegetative state for you, but maybe not die.
But that's different.
I'd pull the plug. So it's, well, now... Yeah, it's just a lot of pressure, because I need a context. Like, is it between me and you? Am I pushing you out of the way and a bus is coming?
Yeah, what about that?
Here's the conversation. Here's the way the conversation would
go. Isn't this a good sex song?
Do you want to ask me?
Yes.
It is a great sex song. That's what started this to you. Would you kill yourself? Would you die for me? But this is how easy it is. See, people have a tendency to put too much stock in it. Would you like to ask me if I die for you, or would you like to ask me?
Go ahead, T. It seems less gay if you ask.
Danny, would you die for me?
Of course I would die for you, because I would certainly die without you.
How hard is that?
It's crap.
If she's dead,
she doesn't know. You just say good crap.
I'm scared that someone would shoot me if I said yes. You know, like when they ask you if you want a Hertz donut when you're in junior high.
Yeah, right.
All right, Danny, what is your good making love song?
Well, you as director of the show have made it clear that the other options are not important. So one you went with, so I went with this.
What?
Get it yet?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know the song.
Nine Inch Nails.
Sure, yeah.
Which has a triple whammy entendre in it, aside from the words I want to like an animal.
Right.
Yeah, a little on the nose.
Yeah.
I've never tried it that way. I think that was, right. So that was the ear. I'm sorry.
It's a Jewish thing.
But there are several connotations here with the, obviously the sex itself, but the Nine Inch Nail can be a euphemism.
Yeah.
But also, Nine Inch Nails are what they use to crucify people.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got about a 16 to 17 penny nail. You guys can look it up and get a laugh.
I'm telling you now, I forgot.
I'm in you now, Danny.
Yep.
You don't even know.
Can I tell you right now? Adam, would you die for me?
I would die without you.
See how easy it is?
You got it.
Come on, Gretchen.
Freaking melt, man. No, Gretchen doesn't melt ever.
Really good.
No, that's ice in them veins.
All right,
but other
so this
real
is,
chicks.
You know, I gotta say, though, my only fear with a song like Closer than the Nine Inch Nails song is it would start off good, and at a certain point, I would hurt somebody, and then I'd be like that retarded adult who didn't know his own strength, and the next thing you know, I'm being dragged into court like that guy that killed that chick in Central Park, the yuppie
murder.
It's like,
murder.
She wanted rough trade, and the next thing you know, I pulled her head off by
or
her
Lenny
head.
Or Lenny in Of Mice and Men.
That's right. I'd be Lenny. I just wanted to pet the
bunny. He wanted to pet the bunny.
I'll get sad.
You know,
I want to go to Hawaii.
What bothers me about this conversation most is the idea of the impossibility factor of me hurting anyone during sex.
Well, you could pick up a lamp or something.
I could see some giggling, possibly.
You could choke someone out.
I could see some questions being asked, but actually physically doing any kind of damage, I don't think so. Not to a grown person.
It would be nice.
That would.
T.
Okay.
What is your, now give us a bad one.
This is bad because already in my love life, there have been some clowns and some sideshow freaks. And some knives thrown.
Just the big top. Good name for TSV.
Well, it is a carnival of abuse. I mean, if this came on, it's over.
Well, on one hand, yeah, it...
Not if you can start juggling and stuff,
it depends. Like, maybe... Well, I'm trying to think. Like, if I was really high. It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
You think about peanuts and kids and elephants.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I can think of peanuts, kids, run over by a truck and still complete the action.
But listen, I don't want to overstate it, but my worst sex song is way better than this. So, Danny.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, now give us a bad one, Danny.
There's one worse than that. Okay. This is just one of those great mood killers. This one isn't like as on the nose as I usually take these. I think you'll just get it, but how could you possibly do it?
Hi, Cam.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Cam.
Jump in.
Oh, this song.
I'm a Barbie girl. In the Barbie world. Laughing plastic.
It's the little girl voice singing.
You can brush my hair.
Well, that doesn't
kill me everywhere. Imagination. Life is your creation.
You definitely wouldn't have to wear a condom.
I'm a Barbie girl.
She's wrapped in plastic.
Who sings this song. There was a lawsuit, I think, about this song.
Yeah, from Mattel, right?
Maybe if I was really, really high on the booger sugar.
I'll tell you also, girls, we play with our Barbie dolls in a sexual way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, Paul Prine used to do some of this G.I. Joe spell doll, he promised me. But I'd be like, oh, you got the black one. He wasn't before I got to him.
When it popped into my head, this song, it seemed like impossible. But now I'm starting to think, I can do this. Right. You are my little Barbie girl.
You wouldn't feel good about yourself.
I never feel good about myself, Adam.
All right.
I don't listen to the things that come out of my mouth. I never feel good about myself.
Let's go do my number two in the bad department, a little tip of the hat to our own Teresa Strasser on this one.
Can you hear me?
From Yentl.
Oh.
Papa, can you see me? Papa, can you find me?
Does any man like Barbara Streisand in the street?
No. Not when she's singing about Papa.
It's a beautiful song.
Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you help me?
She brought a Papa nine times before I popped a chubby.
She's also dressed as a boy.
Plus, I just couldn't do it with Barbara Streisand. I'd have a better shot of doing it with James Brolin.
Yeah,
I'd be doing it with Barbara Streisand.
I'd be like, sweetie, you got a brother?
And I think, good. Doesn't Josh take it that way?
Get him over. Let's get him over here.
Isn't there a Brolin that's a Mo?
No. I mean, not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
Josh Brolin, no. Straight as you or I. We need to, let's see. We'll take a couple of your calls, and then we'll go to our number one. How about we try that? Let's do Allison from Buena Park. Allison,
hey,
what's happening, my sister?
Not much. I think a bad song to get it on to would be Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton.
Again, it's one of those songs that's kind of like Brick that we heard earlier. You could get down to this song until you found out what the song was about, and then you would just break down and start crying like one of Teresa's boyfriends. Right? Well, I mean, one of. I mean, all of Teresa's boyfriends in the middle of the lovemaking act.
There's something so wrong with me. I walked out on a comic one time. Because I thought it was too soon, and there was no joke at the end. And the implication was that Eric Clapton let this happen so he could have a hit. And I was so greatly offended by that. I guess one of my kids is four at that age. I think his Bella would have come out.
Yeah.
And I was so greatly offended, I walked out on the guy.
I said, Rich Little, stick to doing impersonations. The political stuff is not the way to go.
But now, because I'm on the mic and it's my job, I'm thinking if a baby actually fell on me, I could still finish.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's try.
I mean, I'd prefer it didn't get hurt, but really, it would take a lot to distract me.
Allison?
I'm a fan.
Nice contribution, by the way.
Well thought out.
I don't know that's going to be as good as Mish from San Diego. Mish?
Hey, Adam.
What do you got, Mish?
The Flight of the Bumblebee Man.
Mish, I was going to guess you'd smoke some weed when I heard your name was Mish, but when I heard you laugh, guessing time is over. You smoke copious amounts of weed, don't you, Mish?
I wouldn't say copious.
Only because you don't know how to spell it.
Right, but if you knew what copious meant, you'd have to agree.
He meant a lot.
Once you look up copious, you're going to nod and go...
Do you know what your voice says about you and your laugh that you smoke pot? It's like asking me, hey, Danny, you smoke cigarettes? No, man, I don't. I never touch them. It's just a gimme.
All right, so, Mish, you say Fly to the Bumblebee, a very heady suggestion.
Yeah, it would throw me.
But a good
me.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, throw me.
Because I don't want to picture guy...
earlier.
I must have said it. That's why I love it, yes. I don't want to picture a guy spinning plates.
Right.
While I'm trying to get it on. All right, Mish, where are you off to? Long day of junior college, and then it's off to do a little wakeboarding?
Actually, UCSD.
Ultimate frisbee practice.
Frisbee golf.
All right, Mish. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, you.
Nice choice. Because that would throw me. For some, I don't know why that would throw me so much, but that one would.
We'll take a quick break. We got two things to do when we come back. A, we will speak to the great Jimmy Kimmel because I want to talk a little Well, the 1st of April fell over the weekend, but still pranks were had, and we thought nobody better to talk about that than Jimmy, who's the master of them. I've been on the winning and losing end of many of them, but also our number one Music Monday songs worse to get it on to, and number one from our own Jack Sayer, who's contributing as well. So Kimmel and our number ones next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
April Fool's Day is this weekend. Don't forget, you got to set your clocks back this weekend. We got an early jump on. Be cool.
And now Jimmy Kimmel on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, Jimmy, who's parents and whole family, by the way, I saw in Arizona. They came out to my parents.
Yes.
My wife had to explain to me when I got back from Arizona. I said, oh, yeah, Jim Sr. and Joan, Mom, Jill. I mean, there were eight members of the Jimmy Kimmel family at my appearance Arizona. And my wife said to me, sadly, does it bother you that Jimmy's family likes you much more than your own? It's not even they win by a head. They crush my family in love of me. There's no, Jimmy Kimmel's dad could be pitted against my father in an Adam Carolla trivia competition and crush him.
Well, you're lucky because my dad would just say, I don't know Danny Bonaducci, so he wouldn't compete.
From the grave.
From the grave, that man still hates me.
Jimmy?
I don't know if it makes a difference also, but I think they might like you better than me as well.
Well, it's easy because you have to be, you know, you gotta, I'm just a wacky uncle that comes to town with presents once a year. You have to be the parent in the family where you're the child.
I was really, my mom told me that they went and, that they started, I was just thinking how weird it is. My parents are going to a radio, like, promotion to meet, you know, to meet the host who they're then going to see again this weekend. But
yeah, it is funny. It's like, hey, you want to get a picture, Pops? I'll see you at Kimmel's, this weekend for Easter. So Jimmy, we have, one more song to do each and, potted you up so you could chime in and then we'll get to our April Fool's tomfoolery.
All right. Okay, good.
Teresa, this is worst song to come on when you're in the act. Teresa, what is your number one song?
Well, you don't want a novelty song, and of all the novelty songs, you don't want this one.
Everyone has AIDS.
Wow. Nice.
Is this Up With People? I remember this song.
This is Team America.
That's right.
My six-year-old's favorite movie.
Everyone has AIDS. Yeah, it's a tough song to keep it going to. Solid, yes. Danny?
Yeah?
What do you got? Not that you're going to outdo that baby.
Well, I don't expect to outdo that baby, but the difference is, have you ever heard anyone in the process of just about to have sex say to you, hey, everyone has AIDS? Has that ever actually happened to you?
It was herpes, but no.
Okay, so no. This song, I think, would be bad for anyone, but I have experience here.
Dude look like a lady.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy hearing it.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy hearing it every time I walked into a bar for the next 3 years.
I see.
It became your theme song.
I didn't like hearing it over and over while I was in jail, chained to the bleeding transvestite.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I didn't like hearing it every time they'd say, ladies and gentlemen, Danny Bonaducci. It replaced Come On, Get Happy for three friggin' years. Dude looks like a lady.
How close to the actual sex act were you when you realized it was a dude?
Just finished.
Well, he couldn't answer any of my questions, if that's what you're saying.
Got it.
No, he got in, he wasn't a good transvestite. He had like a goatee. So nothing happened. He's made me mad by being a guy when I wasn't prepared for it. But still, I was prepared for sex with this person in a miniskirt and fishnets, which are my favorite. And then he had a wang the size of a boa constrictor.
Speaking of horrible trannies, Jimmy Kimmel's on the line.
There you go. You know what a song would be, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember in the 70s they made a hit out of, like, some group made a hit out of the Our Father?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that would do it. Well, you know what? Great minds think alike, because I took one out of the pages of the Bible to pick as my number one song. Now, let's see if you recognize it. You may not.
The
There was a little claymated show called Davy and Goliath.
Yeah.
This is the song that played as the intro on Davy and Goliath. Now, it might be one of those more subliminal things. You may not know what this is from, but your mind may wander back to a simpler time when a claymated dog and a claymated Christian boy were spreading the good news around town.
See, all I can think is, what do you mean it's going to take 3 days to rise again?
We also have an entry from our own Jack Silver who wanted to hip up the show a little bit.
What up, peeps?
Hey, Jack, what's up?
I don't know if I mentioned it to you before, Ace Man, but we're not hitting the demo.
I see.
Songs are way too old.
You want to go with a newer song?
How about something made in this century?
All right.
Try this for my bad song.
Bad song.
Okay.
No, I love these dudes. These are my homies. This is in sync.
Uh-huh.
Right. But this song is sweet. It's romantic. It's about love. Mm-hmm. None of these things have any business being associated with sex.
Oh, I see. I got interesting.
Is NSYNC the one with Lance Bass, who has the strange goat eye and likes boys?
Yeah, Lancey. I mean, my homeboy Lance.
All right, Jack, so we've hipped it up for you. Thank you.
Well, here, I got a good song, too, real quick. I'll play it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's back in the motherfucking house with a fat for your
mother. Here's my ringtone. Jack likes the dirty talk.
I know. Rough Trade's his middle name. Jimmy Kimmel is on the phone. Jimmy, the reason we decided to talk to Jimmy today is because it's the day after Jimmy's favorite holiday, which is April Fool's. Jimmy screws with everybody he knows, and even some people he doesn't. We can talk about some of the things you've done in the past, Jimmy. Also, yes.
What category would you like to talk about? Shame, destruction of property, urinating on others inappropriately?
Well, we can talk about the one we discovered together. Remember when we were eating a hot dog over at Carney's over on Ventura Boulevard?
That is a long one. But, yes, Adam and I played a little golf at the little pitch and putt there. And we're sitting eating hot dogs. And this guy that we know came driving by. And what kind of car was he in, Adam?
He was driving a Honda Solstice or something, like the second gayest car. The Miata's first and then the Honda Solstice. It's like a little convertible, little four-cylinder convertible.
Guy named Mark Davis, and this predates cell phones even, because we had to run to a payphone to pull this prank, but he got cut off in traffic, and he honked his horn for a good, it had to be a minute and a half.
He cleared the frame. We could not see him, but we could hear him going down Ventura still honking, and I said, Jimmy, you know who just rode the horn for 20 minutes? I think that was Mark Davis. So Jimmy said, all right, I can work with that. And he went to the phone.
I go right to, and that is the key to a good practical joke, because what people do is they manufacture these scenarios and whatnot. You have to wait until you find something out that someone has no idea. They would never know you knew. So
right.
He didn't know we were sitting there. We got on the telephone and I called him like, in a black voice, I said, you like to honk. It was basically terrorizing him. You like to honk. And this went on for weeks.
Jimmy called as the biggest, scariest sounding brother in the world, who said he got his number. He got his license plate. Then he got his number from a DMV.
Well, every time we knew his roommate, and he became terrified. And every time we find out a piece of information, like he'd say, well, at least this guy doesn't know my address. I'd get right on the phone and go, Mark Davis, 1358. You know, and we really terrorized this guy. I mean, he had the police, and he almost lost his mind.
He was, changing his voice. He would answer the phone in a different voice. He was freaked out. I heard him scream at his roommate for not locking the back door of the apartment and stuff. He was terrorized. I mean, it became sad at a certain point. We only let it go on 3 months.
Well, at what point do you decide it's gone too far?
Well, it was really when the roommate said, this is getting so out of hand, I'm going to tell him.
He couldn't live with him. Wow.
He couldn't live with him, and we found out that it was a woman that he cut off, so this confused him, and so we made it like it was the guy's girlfriend that he cut off. And finally, we ended it by calling him and going, Mark Davis, I just broke up with, you were right about that bitch. You know?
All right, like how that this is the great this is like when Jimmy screwed with me when the Dixie Chicks asked me to go to the Grammys.
Right.
You couldn't you
great
can't
story.
The groundwork was laid. They asked me and then Jimmy picked up the baton and he, I was going to say ran with it, but he actually put it somewhere else. The point is he could have never known that this person honking the horn, that there was witnesses to him honking
right.
the horn that knew him. So yeah. That's the greatest practical joke. But give us another one, Jimmy.
I got one that is going to air tonight on the show that might be the greatest one ever.
Wow, that's really a setup, buddy.
Honestly, no kidding around. I've been planning this for a really long time. I didn't know who I was going to do it to, but we sent a crew to my Aunt Chippy's house in Las Vegas to paint it orange and green, the whole house.
Yeah.
So she comes home from, we did this just the other day. She comes home from babysitting a friend's kid, and her house is completely painted orange and green. And my Aunt Chippy is a foul-mouthed, angry woman
nice.
In the first place.
Mm.
She shows up, she pulls up in front of this house, and we have cameras all over the place, and starts going crazy, and none of the painters speak English. We've got, you know, all the guys pretend that they don't speak any English, and she's screaming at them, and they continue painting, and they're painting the windows of the house, and they're painting her trees. And she's going nuts. And at one point, there's a great moment where she's cursing at them as loudly and profanely as she possibly can. And one of them hands her a beer.
Nice.
And let me just say this. If there are kids listening to this show, because this is an inspirational tale. Because Jimmy, for as long as I've known him, has wanted to paint somebody's house when they were away for the weekend or away for the day. But practically, when we started out, who's got 10 grand to throw around to a crew of 10 guys and materials and tarps and everything? But the point is, kids, he stuck with it.
Yep.
He put his nose to the grindstone, and he started up that mountain. And now he's at a point where he can let his minions do his bidding.
Yeah.
Where he has a slush fund of FU money that's so deep he could drown in it. And now he is now painting people's houses the color of the Miami Hurricanes. Team, and God bless you, Jimmy, because this was, I remember when this was just a dream. You effing with family members like this.
Now, Teresa, you and Jimmy could have had a kind of a bond here, didn't you? You used to have a television show.
I was going to say, on While You Were Out, this is what we would do, only we would actually, you know.
Make their house better.
Yes, but occasionally it would look so awful.
But I think you should do that. I think that's a great idea for a show for Jimmy to produce called
Jimmy,
While We Were Out, We Effed You.
I could have hosted this prank for you.
Yeah, I wish I would have realized that. But my cousin Sal did a pretty good job, and I mean, it's crazy. So then the guys hand her a business card that's all in Spanish, and it's painting by Jaime, and she calls, and I'm on the other end of the phone,
great.
But I'm speaking with them, pretending I don't speak English very well, and I mean, she goes nuts, and she's cursing at me, and then I put Guillermo, and then I call her as me, and put Guillermo on the phone, and she still hasn't figured out that this
and if anyone doesn't know Aunt Chippy, she is like out of central casting. I mean, she's a crazy New Yorker. What does she sound like, Jimmy? Give us a little taste.
You bastards better get off my goddamn lawn.
Why is always the lawn even in New York when they don't have grass?
All right, so that'll be on tonight.
That will be on the program.
What time, what channel?
A Good Cheese, 1205 ABC, Jimmy Kimmel Live. We need to take a break, Jimmy, but we'll be watching tonight to see that.
Also, Adam and everybody, I want you guys to know that I crapped in the coffee this morning.
Nice.
That's my boy.
The boss left an iceberg. All right. Nice job, Jimmy Kimmel. Tonight, 1205 ABC. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, our own Danny Bonaducci is mad at Rosie O'Donnell, but is Trump still angry? Turns out he's angrier than ever.
And I hear there's a big announcement to be made as well.
Big bombshell to be dropped in the news in just a few minutes.
All right. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show. I've not actually had someone from outside of the building on this show yet.
Michael!
Mike. Your streak remains intact. And listen, that's not fair. We had Amy McCarthy, Jenny McCarthy's sister.
Oh, yeah,
we did
right.
a phoner
right.
with Ken Howard from The White Shadow.
That's
I mean,
right.
come on.
I love that guy.
Unfair. You think he's good in real life, you ought to hear him on a cell. He is awesome. Well, the news, T, what is, we have a big announcement now, fresh on the heels of that novelty song.
Yes, you can win $10,000 of Adam's money. Anyone is eligible, even Adam, if you can outbook Booker Mike August in April.
Now, here is the dealio. It is $10,000. It is my money. It is not the station's money. It's not funny money. It's not put up by Hertz Rent-A-Car or anything like Budweiser or anything else. Thus, everyone's eligible. Mike will get the 10 grand for doing what he should have been doing anyway. If he wins, Danny, you dig deep into that Rolodex and you bring somebody in here, then you're going to get it. Hell, maybe I could keep it. It's unclear whether I'd have to pay it to myself. Either way, I'm going to use one of those big novelty foam core checks and an easel. The point is
you should buy yourself some.
Anyone listening, yes, can win. Family, friends, work at the station, don't work at the station. Big Tad won last time. Big That's Tad right. could win again.
Yeah.
Anybody on the planet can win. You get the best guest in here, or you get the best guest on the phone. Now, who'll decide? Well, I'll decide. We'll have a panel of experts. We'll do it the same way we did it last time. And as I said before, it's not only who do you get in or who do you get on the blower, but do they play ball? I mean, you could be George Clooney's pool man and get him just to call up and hang up, but bringing him in studio is better, or we get him on the phone and he opens up.
Yes, it came down.
Talking about
when
things.
We did Outbook August in September, it came down to Johnny Knoxville, who put his junk in a mousetrap,
yes.
and Howard Stern, who called in as a live broadcast during his show.
Right, and I think I ended up giving the nod to Big Tad after flipping a coin. As a matter of fact, we have... Yes. We have the tension.
Wait,
Tad, I'm going to let Tad pick. Heads or tails?
Oh,
I'm going to flip a coin.
You know you don't deserve this, by the
Tad,
way.
Tad, heads.
It's your job, no, man. It's your freaking job, dude.
Heads or tails, Tad? Heads or tails?
Kiss my ass, August.
Tad, heads or tails?
Somebody get security.
Tad, heads or tails? I'm going to flip the coin now.
Wow.
Tails.
Oh, that's a bad pick.
If it lands on tails, Tad, $10,000 out of Hawk with Kimmel. I'm now flipping the coin. Well, out I of slapped it on. I'm now going to lift my hand for $10,000. It is tails.
Big Tad wins the $10,000.
Out of Hawk with Kimmel because when he got his second DUI, he had to go to Kimmel to borrow some money. Well, guess. Who just got his third
By the way,
DUI.
I think that might have been an April Fool's Day joke that Big Tad played on us.
Ah.
Yeah, well, the third DUI, you're going to jail.
Because why would he put it on his MySpace page? He would be ashamed, right?
But,
it's got to be a joke.
Big Tad
no.
saying I got another DUI is like as good a joke as like a monkey saying he's horny.
Right.
Yeah, please.
So
of course.
Is the effect then, to make sure I understand, because Clooney calling in and
right.
doing almost nothing mm-hmm. is going
right.
to be hard to beat because it's George Clooney.
Right. We factor in level of celebrity.
But then you factor in level of performance.
Right.
And then in that case, level of how did it help this show?
Yeah.
In that case, I would have to given it to Stern because he opened up his phone lines and listeners who got to hear that this show might have been compelling, except some of those people
but
seem to suck.
The how did it help this show is a factor that I never factored in.
Oh.
But I appreciate it. Maybe I will factor it in this time. The
yeah,
point
some
is,
guy
is,
with a gazillion listeners calls up our show and they hear us and they go, hey, those guys are funny.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, it's one of these things. It's like saying, how do you know you're attracted to somebody?
Yes.
It's just all know if you put
right.
10 girls, which one I'm attracted to. I don't exactly know how to explain
it's
it.
It's ineffable. The point is, you're the only judge, Adam Carolla, and Mike August, you have something to prove, right?
What do I have to prove?
Well, you lost last time.
I lost by a flip of a coin.
Yeah, but
I had Johnny Knoxville in the studio. That went all over YouTube. We got thousands of hits. It's still the best piece of radio we've done on the show.
He put his junk in a mousetrap.
That was good.
That was incredible.
But you had nothing to do with him putting his junk in a mousetrap.
Yes, he did. If he brought him here, then he is responsible for anything that man did.
Well, Mike August, unbook yourself from the studio because I'd like to book the news.
Well, good luck to you out there. Good luck to all you amateurs.
It's open and it's on. And let me say quickly, there is no order to this. And in fact, you could get George Clooney on the phone this afternoon. Actually, let's wait till tomorrow. I don't want to likest interview him. The point is you could get this guy on tomorrow and win 30 days from now. Yeah. There's no reason to hold back until
start
the end.
Now.
It's not the Oscars.
Yeah, set the bar.
All right, let's get it going with the news, T.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Sometimes news stories hit close to home. In this case, close to the Corolla home, two Illinois teens have been arrested after a fire that they allegedly set Friday sent smoke all the way up where the Hollywood sign is. It was a 150-acre blaze. It was started near a corporate housing complex east of Universal City. It went south of the Warner Brothers studio.
By the way, good name for TV, corporate housing complex.
Wow.
Well, you only stay there usually 30 days.
That's
then you go home.
And the rent's outrageous.
Mayor Villaraigosa, the furniture is sterile. Mayor Villaraigosa said that the two teens were taken into custody and told authorities they caused the fire. They were just visiting L.A. with their parents, according to the mayor.
Yeah, I heard playing with fireworks for the first few days, and then it turned into playing with a lighter, and I can't figure out
and
which one it
was. Near where you live.
Yeah, what happened with me is I went one direction, and my wife headed another direction, and we're both almost out of town. I went to Pasadena to go visit my father in the hospital, and it was a funny, it's something out of a movie, which is my dad was awake when I walked in, or just sort of barely awake, but very sedated, but he kept nodding off in the middle of our discussions, which would give me a complex, but I know he was very sedated.
I do it.
About the third time he nodded off, I thought, good. I'm going to make lemonade out of these lemons. I'm splitting.
Right.
Like I thought, all right, well, old man, I'm out of here. It'll be a 10-minute visit. But each time I would stand up and start making my way to the door, he'd be like, huh, Adam, where are you going? Sit down. And then we'd start talking. You know, Dad, I got a new movie coming up. So I'd get up and start, and he'd wake up again. And we sat there for a minute. And then my cell phone rang. And it was Ozzy going, the hill is on fire. You better get home. Now, I'm driving from Pasadena. And if anyone knows the lay of the land around here, when I'm driving from Pasadena, I'm driving in toward the sort of Universal City, Hollywood area. It looks like, from my vantage point, the entire mountain that my house is on fire.
I was on the cell phone with my wife when she saw it, and I guess it just, you came around a turn on the 101, and there it was, because she literally said, and then I've got to do this, and oh my God, you should see this fire!
Was your house smoky?
It was, the wind was blowing the other direction, but you could see flames from my kitchen, and that wasn't just my wife's horrible cooking. So I said, you know, I was like, Ozzy, get on the roof and get the hose out and, you know, get ready to pack the kids up. Of course, then the next call's from the wife. Where are you? I'm not at home. Well, I'm not at home. Nobody's home. And this is one of the few times that neither one of us is at home, but the twins are at home. So, of course, everyone's seeing the news. The cell phone's ringing off the hook. The twins are there with Ozzy.
Oh,
and now the 101 is all backed up because no one's going anywhere. Ironically, this entire fire is taking place where we buried my mother-in-law.
It's
taking place 24 hours early. It's literally at 1 o'clock the day before. We're sitting over there on Forest Lawn, and it's now the fire is burning the exact same area we were standing in 24 hours earlier. I'm thinking, oh my God, the house is on fire. The kids are there. And of course, my wife's in like full panic mode. We're both so far away that we can't get home, and the arteries and everything are so clogged that I'm like zigzagging my way through town.
And are the cops making you show ID to prove you live there?
There was tons of like looky-loos and people coming up the street and down the street and up the thing, but for some reason the cops weren't blocking it off. They later got to it, I think. But anyway, some tense moments.
Yeah.
But
were you able to say anything comforting to Lynette during this trying time?
Hey, dude, your house on fire.
I told her I had my agent on the other line, so I had to make it brief. I told her, don't worry, I've instructed Ozzy that if the fire gets too close, to throw the kids in the pool.
Smart answer.
Weight them down and toss them into the pool.
Now, did you take anything, and I don't mean to be macabre, weird, or anything, but I thought of it. The fact that you were at a funeral the day before, that exact spot that caught fire, did omens or anything like that enter your mind even for a split second?
I'll tell you the one thing, and I'm not superstitious, but I bought a house, another house to fix up and rent out or whatever, and the escrow closed that day. So I thought, wow, prophetic. Here, one house, the escrow closes on while your house is burning down.
Right.
That house you weren't planning on moving into, right. You may be moving into.
My wife kicked me out of the house about a year and a half ago. And she said, I just need some space from you, man. You're just too much to take.
Right.
And I said, I can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll call every 5 minutes and beg to come home. Mm-hmm. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I don't have the strength. And then I thought, I know what I'll do. So I called the phone company because all the phones are in my name. Mm-hmm. I had all our phone numbers changed. And I called her up and I said, the phone company's going to call you in a few minutes and tell you your new phone number. Don't give it to me till you're ready to hear from me.
Done and done.
40 days later, she invites me back home. My phone number is 666.
Yeah. I know. Everyone tells me don't laugh.
I went, yeah. Everybody, I just went, oh, my God. Is that an omen that she shouldn't have let me come back because I'm the devil, or I should have stayed gone because she is? But either way, I didn't like
it. Isn't the phone company supposed to take care of that stuff? Like, they don't have a 13th floor in a lot of buildings?
No, my whole area. I just talked to some lady the other day that wrote her name down on a thing on a napkin, which I promptly threw away, honey. But I did happen to notice that her first three digits were 666.
Well, somebody you think is the devil, Danny. Rosie O'Donnell.
She's a big fat cow.
She's been in a few, so does Donald Trump. And just when you thought that maybe, you know, a quiet or a cold peace had started between those two.
Yeah, thought it was over.
I did too. And then Donald Trump couldn't help himself. There was kind of an obvious opening when he was on Letterman. Here he is.
You know, it's exciting to see that, and God forbid I get dragged into one of these. I don't have the stomach for it, you know?
Well, it doesn't take much of a stomach with her. She's got the stomach for it.
And there he goes. And one last note. Tonight, Ohio State takes on Florida in the finals of March Madness. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, speaking of March Madness, when we come back, our final installation of March Madness, Final Four, and then our championship tomorrow. Well, you go to AdamCarolla.com. You vote for your selection. We'll see who moves ahead. I don't know what those brackets are doing, but let's get to voting for your favorites. March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show. In Elite Eight action, recycling ads.
Take some of the money that you're putting toward the radio and television campaign and put recycling dumpsters in the apartment.
Strung up shoelaces that are too long.
You people will say, oh, just cut it off, and then you burn it with a Bic, and then you cauterize the wound, and then but we're leaving in America!
And facing a dominant national pride.
Have as much national pride as you can stuff up your tukai in your own country. We'll do the pride math. You ain't living there.
Poker on TV flopped.
You are going to turn on your TV set and watch what you would not tolerate in real life. Nerds wearing three sunglasses playing poker. This is a sport. How dare all of you? You should be ashamed of yourself.
So who's going to the championship? It's the final four. National pride versus recycling ads on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the final countdown. Well, T.
Yeah.
You have been to the website.
Yes.
People are voting on AdamCarolla.com.
Thousands of votes, but sometimes the victories are narrow, so don't think that your vote doesn't count. You have to go on AdamCarolla.com if you want to make a difference.
Mm, you're right.
Oh, my God.
It's a privilege. You know, in certain countries, you can't go to AdamCarolla.com and vote for subject that nobody cares about.
Exactly.
Or if you could but voted incorrectly, they'd cut your head off.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of the freedoms that we enjoy here.
I think there's actually a country called Carollaville. Or if you don't go, they cut your head off.
Good name for T's V, Tiananmen Square.
Lots of people get mowed down for sticking up for themselves.
All right, T, let's get it on, baby. Yeah. What do we got?
Well, we got National Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Takes on recycling ads.
Wow. All right. Let's get it on. National Pride. Oh, please, with your parades and your little Ethiopias and your little this and your Chinatowns and your whatever thing. This is America. It is a melting pot. You know what we've turned our melting pot into? Turned it into one of those arcade games at the bowling alley where that claw drops down and grabs the fuzzy dice or the stuffed animal or the Pez dispenser. We're supposed to be melted together, not stuffed into the same crappy aquarium. That's what we're doing. We're supposed to blend together, not just be forced together. This National Pride thing, look, you're here because your country blows whale ass. Make no mistake about it. You don't like what I have to say? Good. Go back to your country where you're not free to speak your mind. You're here because your country sucks and because this country is vastly better. Now, do we have problems in this country? Of course we do. Most of them are you coming in here and not shutting up about your crappy country. Yes, we have problems in this country, but they pale in comparison to the problems you have in your crappy country. I'm just tired of turning this thing into some sort of cheerleading competition where you have this group representing this school and that group representing that school. Let's join the same team and all form a pyramid. Wow. Woo. Hold on. Powerful. I'm going to be at the top, by the way. Recycling. It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. I don't know what that means, and neither does anyone else. Look, I don't have a problem with recycling. I have a problem with anything that our government pretends is important and isn't. You can tell what they care is important and what isn't. I'll tell you what. Get on the road. See how much graffiti you pass in Los Angeles on the way to your house. Get on the freeway and see how much graffiti you pass when you're driving through downtown and getting on the 101. Then, when you park the car, see how fast you get a ticket when you leave the bumper into the yellow zone. So, those are two topics. You figure out which one the city cares about more. There's your answer. I've done the math. They don't care about recycling. They care about us thinking they care about recycling, but they don't care about recycling. They put the billboards up. They come up with the catchy slogans that no one knows what the F they mean, but catchy. Maybe we're talking about it. Hey, do you know what it's good for the bottle, it's good for the can means? No. Is it clever? No. Is it a double entendre? No. 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 But will they put recycling bins in apartment buildings where 400 people live on top of each other? No, they will not. Thus, they are hypocrites. They claim, in the definition of hypocrite, say one thing, do something else. The city claims they care about recycling. They do nothing. I want to recycle this city.
Nicely done.
I'm Adam Carolla, and I'm an American.
I'm Adam Carolla, I'm American.
Thank you.
You know what? I felt it started to be a crutch. There I did. I said that to a guy with a cane once, and he didn't laugh.
Yeah, I don't want to lean on that.
I won't, but, you know, you made compelling arguments in both cases. Go to AdamCarolla.com and vote. Who do you think should make the finals of March Madness Madness?
And tomorrow we will play the championship. Yeah. It'll be up to you to decide who moves on, who takes on who. I don't know how everyone's bracket is doing. Is anyone's bracket busted? Mike, what's yours swinging like?
I still have National Pride in the championship. but I had stickers in there, too. So by default, I've won against
all right,
everybody.
Assistant Jay, is he still?
No, he's out entirely.
He's out. All right. Well, you got your brackets. You go to AdamCarolla.com and vote. We'll take
I thought when he said brackets, it was the home improvement segment, so I didn't vote. I'm sorry, I'm out.
L brackets. We'll take a corner brackets. Oh, Christ. I could keep going.
Yes,
sad.
You could. I know you could. Wow. Stop yourself.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with So What Have We Learned next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, just enough time left for a little segment that we seldom get to around here called So What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned that the safest place for my children during a fire is the bottom of my swimming pool. How did they drown during a fire? They didn't burn. That's the important part. That's right. Little Natalia. Papa can't get through a story without hearing this. Every single day in the Corolla house. That's exactly what it sounds like. Be ready, Brian. I'll do an actual simulation. Look, I don't understand what's going on out there in society, but all I know is men are turning into, when these kids grow up, you know, they're just gonna have ambiguous genitalia, you know, because a guy can't change up. That's what it is. And then everyone starts laughing, and then the story's over. So what else have we learned? Well, we've learned that we're all living in a giant novelty claw machine, man. Not a melting pot, as we'd once thought. And finally, we've learned the two good names for TSV is the Big Top and Tiananmen Square.
Good times.
Well, that is the program. I want to thank R. Lee Ermey for calling in. Mail call. And being very candid about his brother who passed away from AIDS. He did not have to volunteer that.
No. Get on your knees, scumbag!
But he didn't have to volunteer for the Corps back in the late 60s either. Also, Jimmy Kimmel. Now there's an American. Jimmy Kimmel Live, weeknights, 12:05, ABC, and watch the big prank tonight with Aunt Chippy.
Yay!
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
I hope you are raped. I hope your daughter is raped right in front of you.